Recording.
Recording.
Yep.
Lights call meeting to order at 6 o'clock. Roll call, please.
Chairman Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
Here.
Treasurer Mahoney.
Here.
Secretary Scheifel.
Here.
And Director Stevens.
Present.
Public input. Public input. Secretary's report. We have two letters, or two communications to the board. One is from the Ted Posey family requesting that a hangar be placed in trust. The letter is has been numbered NAA 16-001 and is on file. And the second letter is from Ron Emmons, addressing the subject of closing the airport for adverse weather conditions. This letter also is on file, and it's NAA letter 16-002.
We need to discuss this at all? There's a request for an assignment of a lease. Do you want to...
I would like to address the board.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's on the new business.
Public
we don't take that. Okay. All right.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. Any response on the airport closure? Your communications is on file and what is recognized.
Have we addressed anything on that? The letter was intended to get a response. Adverse weather conditions is not necessarily the reason it closed. And it's pretty painful for people that work and try to make a living on the airport when that happens.
The board recognizes that safety is our primary concern.
Safety is an important concern, and ICE is not necessarily unsafe.
Correct.
They have an airport that is totally ICE and open bay. Not anymore.
The regulations leave it up to the airport manager as FAA rules.
The problem we have at this airport is the lack of jets, a lack of commercial operations, and closing the airport is the primary reason why they don't come here. And they won't come here, because when people have private jets and want to leave, they don't want to hear about the airport being closed. It's one thing when there's a crash in the middle of the runway, or if you've got a tornado going through. It's another thing if it's foggy, or if it's just icy. That's one of the reasons you don't see people coming in.
Duly noted, and we appreciate your input on that. All of them.
Thank you. May I ask a question on that topic? If the FAA says that it's appropriate or could be airport authority discretion to close the runway, is there a specific test for the closure, for the icing conditions? And do we do that test? Do we have the equipment to do that test?
I'll defer to our airport manager on that.
There is no specific test. No, it's up to the discretion of the airport manager. If they feel the airport's unsafe, they have the authority to close the airport.
I was under the impression there was a specific test.
There's two types of tests. There's the expedient test, and then there's the buy a $50,000 worth of equipment, put it in the back of your pickup test, okay? And we do the expedient test, which is, well, I'm sure you know exactly what those two tests are. But the guidelines are, as I understand them, and I just read them, okay, after this closure, and I read them again after your letter, okay? The guidelines from the FAA are pretty clear. The FAA comes right out and says it. we do not recommend that your the airport stay open if there's zero braking. Okay? And there's a test for zero braking. Okay? And there's an expedient one guideline, as I understand it. And it's pretty clear. And great, we could leave the... I've landed on the ice, too. But I went there knowing I can land on ice and all that kind of stuff. But if there is an accident on this airport, and we knowingly knew there was zero braking, and hitting us in the face is an FAA recommendation, okay, to close the airport if there's zero braking, then where does that leave us liability-wise? Where does that leave the city liability-wise?
No other airport closes. Then they don't close. Concord don't close. They've all had ice on them.
Can I ask a question?
I think that situation was pretty unique. It was iced over from all the melt and the runoff we had for that day.
I recognize, Westlip, I recognize that there is a test. Perhaps someone could dispel my misimpression that that test was in fact not done on that morning. I understand that the airport manager was at home, which that's a Saturday. He's entitled to do that. But those decisions need to be made on the spot by someone standing on the runway. So perhaps someone could explain how that was done.
If I could just clarify the situation. The situation was we finished snow removal the evening prior, Friday evening prior. We had a warm spell just before the sun went down. So anything that was left on the runway melted, and then as soon as the sun went down, it froze immediately. So we made the decision that night, the Friday night, to close the airport. With the understanding that as soon as that sun comes out and hits that pavement, it's going to start to melt, and we'll be able to reopen the runway, and the condition will change. So that's the circumstance that led to the decision for us to close the airport.
Thank you. The sun came up at 7:30. Was there a member of the staff present at 7:30?
There was, yeah. There were two of our airport maintenance workers here that morning.
Alderman Sullivan.
Thank you. I just have a question for Dennis on what the ruling said. Does it say, what does the FAA say? We do not recommend it be open, or we recommend it be closed? Because if they say we do not recommend it be open, then what they're saying is, it's up to you. And the problem that we have with it, with closing, when it's icy, is that as soon as we reopen it, now what if someone slides off the runway? Now you can say, hey, you guys open the runway. And most of them say, now that's a case for a suit. The FAA, the way flying works is that when someone's a pilot, I'm a flight checker, right? We don't teach someone just to fly. We teach them to be PIC, pilot in command, so that they can make those judgment calls. And you're not going to find an NTSB report that says airport failed to do X, airport manager failed to do X. It's always pilot failed to understand the conditions, pilot failed this, pilot failed that. And that liability is distributed to pilots. It's not concentrated in a bureaucracy. And that's why the FAA says we do not recommend that you land on an icy runway, because they're very careful in their wording. That stuff resides with the pilot. And one of the biggest things we try to teach someone is how to make good judgment decisions. That's it. That's how flying works. And I think that we expose ourselves to greater risk by closing it and then reopening it than we do by just saying brake in action poor by a vehicle on the aids. What if it's too windy? Do we close it if it's too windy? Some pilots can't fly anything. What if it's too hot? There are some airplanes parked out here that cannot be flown on days that are too hot because they're made out of plastic. The plastic softens. It can't be done. So all of that decision making, I think, is best left in the hands of the pilots who are exercising their role as pilot in command. It's very dangerous from a liability standpoint, I mean, to do the opposite. We're safer from a liability standpoint to put on the aids, breaking action poor, than we have to say it's closed.
You know, I also fly. I haven't flown in a long time, but I know how. Not very well. But it is my belief also, like what Dave said. In all the years I've been here, I don't remember the runway ever being closed. I know Steve is erring on the side of caution. I understand his feelings on that. However, it is my opinion that it is our duty to keep this airport up and running all the time. You know, flying is down as it is. So having a business on the airport, I see firsthand how many people are affected. And a lot of people were affected that day. Not just Mr. Iman and his business. Several other people came to me. Old people, young people, crabby people, not so crabby people. A lot of people came. It is our duty to get the airport up and running, you know, first thing in the morning when people want to fly. And it is the pilot's judgment call, as far as I'm concerned.
Dennis.
Okay, I'm a pilot, and I agree. It's a pilot's judgment call, okay, to land or not to land. But it's the airport's, and I'm going to answer your question, because I bet 10 to 1 that the FAA said, we recommend that the airport be closed, okay?
Let's check.
And it's right, probably can find it before I start talking, okay? But it definitely gives the airport the authority or the privilege to make that decision, okay? But when it comes right out, it doesn't matter what pilot thinks he can or cannot do. When an entity, a public entity, is being told by daddy upstairs, the industry, the governing industry, the body that governs the entire industry, that they should close, that leaves you right open for liability, okay? And yes, it does. And it's, you know, here, anybody gets hurt looking for a lawsuit, here you have an organization that had the power to close the runway, and the FAA is highly recommending that they do not do it. I mean, that they close the runway. And that's all I got to say is, you know, we can all say live free or die, we're all pilots, we have that decision, we're all trained, but the bottom line is we run an organization, and we also have to protect that organization.
Couple of comments. In the letter, it says, among other things, the responsibility to close the airport is the prerogative of the board and the manager. I'm not a professional aviator, so I don't know, but what I've been told is that responsibility and authority rests with the manager, not the board. It's not one or the other. I think it's only the manager.
Correct.
The second thing is, you know, the governor is responsible for the state of New Hampshire, and when we have icy conditions, they'll put up signs that will say road conditions are deteriorating. The speed limit was 55 miles an hour, now it's 35 miles an hour, but they don't tell you that the road's closed. Even when we have last year, when they were saying, you know, please stay off the road, please stay off the road, give the plows a chance to work, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't say you can't go on the road. They just said avoid it, hunker down, stay home, watch some DVDs, and be safe. You folks that are pilots spend a lot of money in training on how to do this, and that's supposed to be part of the process. So if it came down to a vote as to whether or not the airport should or shouldn't be closed, I would say if the state of New Hampshire hasn't closed, the airport shouldn't close and leave it up to the pilot.
I think this has been a very healthy discussion, and hopefully we'll not have to cross this bridge again.
Can I make one more comment, please? I don't think that we're going to have another situation this calendar year, although Monday might bring some surprises, but I don't think that we will approach that point where the decision will have to be made for the rest of this year. However, I would suggest that by December of next year, before the first snowfall, we have it in concrete as to what the policy should be, is et cetera, and we have an agreed set of rules as to how a decision will be made. If the airport's going to be closed, we're going to have to do this, this, and this, and that most definitely should include, obviously you can't manage by committee, and I'm not suggesting that, but if a decision to close the airport is going to be made, all those who have an impact on it should be incorporated in the decision-making process, and there should be qualified people on the airport to make those decisions eyeball to pavement.
Okay, you also have a problem with fog, and the airport could conceivably be closed due to fog, and you have aircraft out there that have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to have synthetic vision, and they can come in and zero, but they can't if the airport's closed. They will be violated. So it's not just the ice. You could be in a problem during the spring or summer with the fog issue. And that shouldn't be, that still should be up to the pilot. And is it?
Thank you very much for your input. That's been very helpful. Mr. Secretary, can you work on the minutes? Want to talk about the minutes?
The minutes for February were posted to the website as required, and they are ready for approval or any changes, whatever. So I make a motion to approve the February minutes, the February 2016 minutes.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion?
Yes. I still have Chet's name wrong in the back there. See, it's LOSIK. We talked about it, but we were probably talking about nine different things.
That's what I have on.
Mine says SIK.
What page is that on?
Page 7.
Sorry, you got the wrong minutes. Mine has the first.
I'll start crying out loud at the wrong minutes. Can I have your minutes? I get the wrong minutes.
LOSIK, right?
Does it say LOSIK?
It does.
Okay, so that is correct.
Yes.
Okay,
there's a motion and it's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Treasurer's report.
The numbers in the package are the February 2016 data. We ended the month with an $8,500 positive revenue. That's a variance against the original plan of $12,604. The original plan actually projected that we would finish the month in the red. That did not happen. So month to date, or the month of February was positive. Year to date is significantly positive. And barring any questions from the thing, I'd make a motion that we accept the treasurer's report. Pending audit.
Is there a second? Okay. Discussion. Can you talk about the reimbursement that we're getting from the state for pension?
It was
health insurance.
The health insurance. Yeah, we did make one change in the from draft to final here. It's really just a classification of cost. I noticed in the draft package that came that we had received a health care reimbursement from the provider, and it was initially entered as non-operating income. And it's just a preference of mine that credits follow the expense. So my request to Mary Beth was that, you know, to better be able to assess what's going on in a health care account, you look at the health care expense, and if you get a credit that's back associated with that, you book that into the same account so that you net the thing out. And then when you look across the cost, you can see fairly clearly without having to look at netting out the expense of the health care and something that's called non-operating income. So she made the adjustment at my request, and it's now flowed through into the package that you see here. So it's invisible to anyone who's looking at a final copy of it, but it might have been something that you folks saw.
That's why there's a variance in the month. We're under budget, basically.
It's part of it, yes. Yeah. It's not all of it. It was only somewhere in the $1,400 range when everything is said and done, but it is a contributing factor.
Any other questions? Okay, there's been motions, but seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Next item is reports, power report.
Mr. Chair, February, like January, was a much better month than January and February of 2015. We had 1,212 operations more than the same month in 2015, also due to weather.
Plus the extra day.
Yes, that must have been part of it. It must have been a lot of flying that time.
There was some. Okay, next is the airport manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, wildlife activity in the airport has been light with no reported strikes. We're exploring the possibility of removing some trees, which will allow the VOR runway 32 approach to be usable at night. The trees are located on Sharon Ave, and one is located next to the law warehouses on the northeast side of the runway. We're working on hosting a home-built fly-in in early June with a car show component. The city's Capital Improvement Committee has ranked both of our FY 2017 capital projects for which we're seeking city funds with an A rating or essential in their report to the City Council. The New England Aviation Safety Expo will be returning to Daniel Webster College on April 2nd from 8 to 5 right here at Daniel Webster College. And planning for Wings and Wheels has begun, which was formerly Touch Truck. We're currently soliciting for vehicles and aircraft. The date of the event is August 6th, so please spread the word. And that's all I have.
Questions?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Safety Expo. I was talking to Bob earlier. Last year, I solicited donations from all the businesses. That did a raffle here. Some of the other board members sat over here and did a raffle, and a few of the businesses came and helped. I took some of my employees, brought them over here, and this year I'm a little tired. I'm hoping other people step up to the plate. I'd be more than happy to give a donation and a little bit of my time. But if the airport wants to be part of this, it is a very, very fun event. They have a lot going on. There are a lot of people here. A lot of people fly in. I suggest somebody get together. Steve is going to be here doing a Gathama table. So it's up to us to get together and do national airport table. So if anybody wants to participate in that, maybe come see me at the restaurant. I'd be happy to help, but I don't want to be the one doing it all this year, so let me know, okay?
I did want to comment on the Capital Improvement Committee's recommendation to the city for the capital projects that we have, the two capital projects. Is that under other business?
Put or new.
Never mind. Okay. Next on the agenda is engineer.
You guys have a copy of the update for the month. I'll go through it relatively quickly. Project number one, perimeter fencing. We met with Fences Unlimited. You'll notice that the new fence down on the corner of Pine Hill and Sharon is completed. Including relocating some of the PVC slats that were put in the wrong location. All that fence, the old fence that was on airport, has been removed, disposed of. We pulled all the old foundations and brought material down there for you guys to fill in holes at your guys' agreement. They have been along the railroad tracks cleaning up some of the old fence posts and removing those. Actually, I just texted with the project manager over there, and he said that they're complete. So I'm going out there tomorrow morning with the airport to review that, make sure it's acceptable to you guys. Then they have a few minor punch list items that we met with them last week to discuss. Some of them are the locks on the gates need to be repaired under warranty for rusting and missing parts. And then just minor stuff, really minor stuff at this point. So moving in the right direction on that one. Any questions on the fence and gate? Seeing and hearing none. Two and three, property acquisition is really just open for the demolition. The demolition is, as you know, done. We're shut down for the winter. I've coordinated with SNR. We're trying to find a date next week where we can meet on site to go over the potential drainage issue and the regrading of the site. They want to hold off on doing any work until it's really dry down there so that they're not just making more of a mess. So they envision probably mid-April if everything is according to plan. Other than that, everything's pretty much buttoned up with that after they finish that minor punch list stuff. So, any questions on the demolition?
So the scope of work is to cap it with loam and seed it?
Correct.
And
make it grass.
Is there a drainage requirement in the contract?
Grade it to drain.
To the road shoulder?
Grade it to drain. We didn't specify so that we could work it in the field.
But a pond in the middle of it is not.
It's not draining.
Good. Okay.
Although it will infiltrate out here, but it's not what we're looking for. We told them that. They understand that. So they've requested that we try to stay off of it as much as possible because they think some of the running is causing the issue, but that's not the issue whatsoever. They mentioned that the erosion control was part of the issue, and I said, well, the erosion control would be part of it, but was ponded beyond that as well. So it needs some rework. It does need some rework out there, and we'll get them out there and do that. So. Any questions on the property acquisition? Airport master plan. The airport, New Hampshire DOT, and Gale Associates met last month to discuss revising the scope of fee based on the initial cost, which I think was like $518,000. We've since reanalyzed and revised the proposed cost and scope. Based on that meeting, we've got it down to, I think, $475-ish, if I remember correctly. We submitted it back to the airport for review, and at this point, yeah, I think the next step is to see what FAA has for funding for this project. We'd be happy to assist the airport in any way with that, so let us know. We do have the April 1st grant deadline coming up, so we kind of need a yay or nay on this project in the near future as to whether or not we're going to put in a grant application for it. So. Again, we'll assist you guys in any way you need.
Just waiting for DOT.
Just for free?
Nothing's for free. But yes, we're not under contract, so yes, it is free. yes, we will gladly assist you guys in that. So,
question.
Yes.
Where are we on this?
I think we're waiting for DOT to get back to us with the funding, whether or not the funding is available.
So the ball is in their court now.
Well. No, but we have to make this middle by April 1st. Okay? I don't think we'll know if the funding is available until well after that.
We won't.
So the real question is are we prepared to spend $24,000 for our share for our master plan? And I think, everybody in this room but one would say the price tag of $475,000 is outrageous, but I've gone through every hour that's allocated to it, and it's likely that they'll spend more time than they've allocated. But what happens, this contract does not turn into a time material. It turned into a lump sum, and so I think Gale is protecting themselves because they know what we need and what we want to do. But even though it's $475,000, our expense is $24,000, and we've already gone to the city to request that, and I think we should move forward. And I think this, I don't know if we need to vote on this and approve this as a project and go forward with it. I think we probably should.
Well, I'd like to have a little more review before we vote on it.
Well, we do right now because we have
an April 1st deadline.
I know, but today is not. Today's the 16th.
Sir, we won't have that meeting until April, middle of April.
Well, some of us can sit and meet with the guys. Are you saying just give the approval?
The approval to allow this job to move forward and request funding and say that we're ready to back it with $24,000.
This project has been on our CIP plan for a number of years.
For 10 years.
Doing a master plan.
Not the actual master plan.
And it's been delayed several times already. Mm-hmm. But I feel that now is the time we need to go ahead and actually make sure that it gets done and go ahead with it.
But there is no master plan that's already in the works.
Yes, we do have a master plan already. It's what year is it?
It needs to be updated.
I think it's 1988. Well, that was a technical update. I think it's 90. I want to say 91 was the last official master plan, and there was like a technical update and a runway feasibility study. What's it say?
Yeah, 2000.
That's a technical supplement.
May of 2000.
And that was to primarily justify the parallel runway.
Just to approve going ahead and moving forward with the
study,
with it. Not the actual content.
Yes, I think that, again, it's a no-brainer. It's something we need to do. It's something that's going to get the right people together. We'll form a master plan committee of users and on the airport, and hopefully some representatives from the city to just sit down and say, hey, how should this airport move forward for the next 20 years?
This would be an expense for next year.
And this would be an expense for, if it gets approved and on the docket, I can't imagine having to spend a single penny before July, right, of this year.
So the funding cycles will probably, typical FAA funding cycles, you submit a grant application April 1st to New Hampshire DOT. They're part of what's called the block grant program, so they have to take all the projects in New Hampshire and put them into one larger grant. And submit that to FAA New England Region by May 1's grant out deadline that they have. So that's why they wanted a month in advance, so they can lump everything together, see where the funding falls. So realistically, you put it, FAA will have a grant application for this in May, and you will not see any funds until at the earliest July. Recent history has shown August.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they have until September 29th. To issue it prior to the end of their fiscal year, or it does not go.
I think Gail's got to do something before they get paid. But pretty much most of this is going to Gail to provide the man hours necessary to research, investigate, CAD drawings, meet with the master plan committee. And I tell you that a lot of the savings, a lot of the cuts that we did for the planning for this was relying on this board and our master plan committee to help out with some information and research.
Is there any expense to the authority if the FAA does not approve this grant?
No.
If you're under contract, I mean, technically you have exposure, but we're not looking to chase money for something you don't have a grant for at this particular time. And it's not in the FAA's best interest too. This is a high priority ranking project. That's why they've authorized us to proceed in this manner. I don't envision it being an issue.
Does someone want to make
obviously FAA's punchline is contingent upon the availability of funding. That's what they always say. So it's based on the funding.
Just a couple. So the 24K, that's the 5% of the 475,000. And we're talking about that. You know, let's say that it goes the way you're talking about. So when can we expect that to pay out? I know you say you wouldn't start until it would the payout immediately. And what have you got in your plan for the budget that's coming?
So the schedule for this project, and sorry if I'm interrupting, is roughly an 18-month schedule.
Yep.
Based on whenever we start. 18 months, because that's about what it is. We can accelerate it to 12 months, but we're probably talking about a master plan of this magnitude, somewhere in the order of 18 months start to finish.
Okay.
Before the document is finalized. So your expenditures will be, depending on the involvement during the certain months and periods, it'll be staggered throughout that 18 months, obviously.
And is it paid out evenly from less of them, or does our share go in immediately? How's that all?
The way that it works is you'll submit grant reimbursements based on what's been expended to date.
Yep.
And your portion or your share, the 5%, will come out of that whatever's been spent. So if you spend $100,000 in the first 6 months, your share will be that $5,000 from that $100,000 expenditures.
And another interesting point is that I saw in the news the city was opening the talk about updating their master plan in the next year or so, and it's maybe going into the budget. Do you know anything about that?
I don't.
So I'm going to paraphrase what you said. The full exposure of the 24,000 wouldn't happen immediately anyway, right? So right off the bat, we'd have some time there.
Yeah. We wouldn't be liable for all of it, regardless of what happened.
Technically, the way that FAA, because this is what's called a planning grant with the FAA, you can't do any expenditures on the project until you have a grant in hand. So they don't want you to start. Obviously, there's things that we've done already that have cost money and stuff like that. And, you know, we will do stuff beforehand to jumpstart the project.
My only other question was to Steve. Do you have anything like that in what you've been working so far for the submittal to the city for the next year's budget?
No. The capital projects are not part of our operational budget.
Okay.
They would come out of our cash reserves, but we're hoping that the city's going to reimburse us for that. Cool.
They're not in our budget submittal, but they're in our CIC submittal.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Correct.
And we have not invoiced for any of this at this particular point, so there's been no expenditures to the airport.
So who does what when? What's the next step?
Well, the first step is for this board to vote on whether we should proceed with the grant application. Once that happens, then Gail takes the ball and submits the grant to the FAA.
And that's got to be done by the 1st of April?
Correct.
So we need to run, not walk.
Great. So I'll make a motion. I move that we move forward with the grant proposal for the airport master plan update. New Hampshire DOT SPG-12-16-2016, which has a budget in the range of $475,000.
Say 480, because we'll have to add in some sponsor amendment for like
that. Amended to 480, with our share being approximately 24,000.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion.
I just have one more question.
Yes.
For Gail. Do you go directly to the FAA or do you go through DOT?
In New Hampshire, because you're a block grant, we default to New Hampshire DOT.
Does that?
They technically are FAA and block grant, but they will run it up the flight.
That doesn't impact the suspense date of 1st of April?
No.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have a comment. I want to make sure that we're all involved as much as possible in this so that we can make decisions together moving forward. How can we make that happen when we're a quorum?
Well, we have a meeting once a month.
We do it all during that?
Mm-hmm. We'll have an update once a month.
Every
bit of correspondence you already have. You have the entire master plan.
But an update from
deliverables. Okay, you've seen that. We'll keep that posted on the internet as well as soon as it's through its final edit. And the DOT approves it, then we'll post it right on the internet so everybody, all the users, can see it. And we're going to have, to start this off, we're going to have some public, all of the master plan committee meetings will be public meetings, which means we can have as many directors there as we want to.
Okay.
But it won't be an NAA board meeting. It'll be a master plan committee meeting. So, but they'll all be public. So, I don't know how many we'll have attend, but like the S&P, we had the S&P committee, but we had a lot of people there who offered a lot of value to the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd like to duplicate that.
So the plan would be to publicize that and bring that, form that committee next time? What?
No, you know, it's not on the master plan committee is not even on here yet because don't want to get everybody excited and sit and wait, okay?
It could be 4 or 5 months.
True, okay.
So it could be 4 months before
we receive our plan. As soon as we get an idea of what's going on, stand up a committee. Stand up a committee in that style of call.
Yes.
Andy.
Andy Nines, for the record, is there a copy of the previous master plan someplace that can be seen? In other words, is it on the web? Is it sitting in Steve's office someplace you can go and look through it? Or
I could probably dig up one of those technical supplements from 2000, but I don't know beyond that. You guys have a copy of the original?
I have to go back and look. We have a lot of documents. We don't have any electronically. We have hard copies that we, you know, kind of scavenged through your, some of your archive files in the past. I believe we have a copy of the original master plan, so I kind of know the dates, just based on the history of reviewing it and stuff like that.
I can get this to my staff and have them scan it, and Steve can put on the internet for us.
We may have already done it. I have to just double check, to be honest with you, because we've gotten in the habit of doing that.
One way or the other, we'll have it on the internet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, there's a motion that's been seconded to proceed with the airport master plan project. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
Lastly, pavement maintenance project down on the 3-2 end and the taxi and the aprons. We are working towards a 95% design submission of today. I was reviewing plans right before coming down here, so we hope to have it out tomorrow to you for review. We're going to need a quick turnaround on this, as we'll need to get this out on the streets for bid. I've verbally gotten acceptance from New Hampshire DOT of authorization to push back the deadline to the 12th because we need to get at least 3 weeks of a bid period for this. This project is losing time quickly, and we've tried to accelerate it based on some of the changes that have occurred based on our meeting just last month. So we're in good shape. We are very far along. We're just about ready to put this out to bid. We intend to put this out to bid mid the fall.
It's not subject to the April 1st deadline.
It is, but you can get an extension because they have that month grace period, and that's why they have that month grace period, so that they can kind of get a feeling for it. We're working off investment right now with New Hampshire DOT as to what we're going to need for funding. So I spoke with New Hampshire DOT. They verbally authorized it. I have to come memorialize it in writing, and they'll gladly approve it.
So what's the total? What do you think the total budget is going to be?
We're running right around 1.1. Slightly over the original amount, which is why we
and that's 100% of the work that we've allocated, right?
Correct.
With no tenant share.
That's correct.
Now, can you refresh our memories as to what areas will be paid?
Dennis, I didn't bring a graphic, and I apologize for that. So the areas that we're talking about, there you go. Dennis has a good graphic. The areas we're talking about are primarily the 3-2 run-up apron and the taxi lane that goes, I think as you guys call it, Propel, along there.
Golf
now, I'm sorry.
This is all the south end side of the runway, and this is the run-up area and the end of the runway right here. There's 3-2 right here. So the yellow here is a small area adjacent to the hangars. That is the highest cost. It's the reconstruction area. Okay. If budget goes over budget, we don't have to repair that area up against the hangars. You know, it's not a public area, it's private use. But we're really looking at the asphalt that's just going there and taking care of the whole situation. I mean, If that's the case, we either go to the tenant to say, hey, do you want to pony up, or do you want us to cancel that part of the project? So when we bid it out, we need to be prepared to cut it out with qualifications with the contractors. The hangers over here, these are the T-hangers. They are part of the project as well as the end of the airport. Now, there's a couple things about this. One is that we're not paving anything we don't have to pave. And one of the things that might, I'll say it now because it's something you might want to talk about later, is that we're not planning to pave or reconstruct any tie downs on the south end of the runway. Okay? So the existing tie downs that are there will be gone, there'll be grass, they won't be pavement. That's probably one of the worst places on the entire airport as far as runway condition, asphalt condition. And one of the solutions there is just rip it all up and replace it, but that could be expensive. So we're already over budget for the area we want to cover for this time period. And why pay something that isn't benefiting the entire area? Now, so
by that you mean that what you're showing on that, or what's shown on the drawing, is there may, some of that may not be paid.
Based on the bid prices that come in, we may have to make some cuts as to what's in it. We don't know. We're crystal balling right now. The interesting thing is right now petroleum costs are down, as we all know. So, you know, what we have been running for numbers for pavement and for petroleum-based products like hauling, all the stuff that impact bid prices, could be lower. We don't know. So, you know, we're hopeful that we can get all of it done. It's just a matter of what the bid prices come in with.
So, but the plan as laid out is all three colors, the pink, the green, and the yellow here. And what you're saying is...
The yellow might be cut out.
Steve and I have walked every foot of this with Gail. And there's one area along the north, I'm sorry, the south end of the T-hangers, the four T-hangers that are there, that has drainage issues. Every time it rains, it ponds, the water has nowhere to go. It's aggravated by the large jet hangers that are there that are have gutter drains that spill right on the ground and create a pond. So that's the one area where we're going to do some underground drainage, okay? We'll also go to the hangers, okay, and hopefully work a deal with them. Maybe the owners of the hangers would want to tie their gutters into underground storage so we don't have surface runoff. And that would be an easy thing to do while we're asphalting.
It just strikes, the only reason I ask the question is because if you look at, you know, if you're doing the pink that's where, you know, through the inner, right, how do you know when you know that you're going to cut this off? Because it would be awfully hard, I would think, to stop and not do the yellow if you're right there doing the pink.
If you go out there and look at a lot of the pavement sections, they're pretty well defined based on when they were constructed and their condition and the types of construction that we need to do. Go walk it with Dennis. You'll see. I mean, it's pretty clear as day which areas are the oldest and when they were constructed. So that's going to be easily definable in terms of what's the best method.
What budget cycle? Sorry,
go ahead.
What budget cycle would this be in?
This is an FY16 fund grant as well.
And we've already asked the city for money, and that fact that the city has already appropriated funds for this project.
Half of it, if I remember correctly, was last year.
So, and we are in FY16 now, is that correct?
That's correct.
So it'll be done before the end of...
I wouldn't say that. Nothing. It depends on when the funds
will be contract. But you mentioned a moment ago that this is a hot thing. It needs to get done right away. So I have two questions, basically. The chart that you just showed up on the wall, do the folks who have hangers know about this? And you mentioned you're going to reach out to them and ask them, you know, about the drainage up against their buildings. Have we done that? Are we doing that? Is there time to do that? With the deadline you're talking about.
There's no money in the budget for that because it's not AIP eligible. Tying in roof drainage from hangars is not AIP eligible, so it's not something that you guys, in my opinion, should entertain. If we're out there doing construction and some of the tenants would like to tie their drainage, just their roof drainage into the system, I'm sure there's ways that we can assist the airport in brokering a deal with the contractor to do such.
Okay, so what you're saying is now is not the time to be talking about that.
I think it's something that the airport should definitely consider talking to their tenants about, absolutely.
It's not stopping us from moving ahead to put it in the system and make it part of the overall concept plan.
It's not something that needs to be done before.
What we did do, though, Bob, is we took out one ramp and that is not being used for anything. And part of the project, I hope you have in the scope, is to remove that ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what ramp is that? What's it called? Does it have a designation?
I don't know what you guys call it.
Okay. It's a connector ramp right here.
Oh.
Oh, the taxi lane to nowhere. That's kind of
That's. It used to be.
I forget what that was called.
So there's no need for it because there's other accesses and there's no reason to maintain it. It's not even striped.
It's not striped. Actually, I think it's the markings are blacked out.
Well, if you haven't used it in the last 4 months, if you haven't noticed the pile of snow that keeps people from going through it, on that, that's what we use it for, snow storage. Okay, so there's no reason to pave it. And also, there's a few areas that when this was done, who knows when, it was just like, I get the feeling there's the more asphalt, the better. But now that we need to maintain it, there's corners we can cut off. There's, as long as we have free access everywhere and taxiway, we don't need asphalt that's not being used.
Clean up the geometry.
Right.
But it'll support every known aircraft type that we're expected to get.
Correct.
Should that be on the website?
Two, actually, Wes and
three. Steve Roulette, I have a question. I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. The area that you're proposing paving, does that include Alpha Ramp? And if so, does that include its entirety all the way to the fence? Or where it's already been paved as of 2 years ago?
The project includes reconstructing a portion of that apron up to where it was previously reconstructed as part of the runway project.
So in other words, the way we see it now, as far as the dramatic difference between the paving that we had 2 or 3 years ago and what's been that way for the last 20 years.
Can you clarify what the drastic difference is? I just don't follow.
Well, that. One's been paved and one hasn't been paved.
So one's new and one's old.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you're saying that the old that needs it the most is not going to get repaved, but that which has already been paved is going to get paved again.
No,
we're not touching anything that was done as part of the runway project.
Yeah.
We may have to transition into it just for blending, but
up to that joint,
the fence area in Alpha Ramp, where I'm parked.
We're reading everything from Alpha to the fence. Yes, we're addressing every bit of that. Okay. We're not going back to that area for 20 years. But this project should accomplish everything there. The reason I was talking about the hold downs along the fence is that there's absolutely no reason to go to the fence, okay, and reconstruct all that asphalt if we don't want to keep those hold downs. We have plenty of hold downs elsewhere in the airport. This side of the airport is potentially for, you know, jet hangers and that kind of stuff. So do we want to maintain the asphalt here and plow it and everything else up again, all the way up against the fence?
Over by the grass, kind of.
Or by
the... Okay, but that's the way different from
now. No, we're talking about the...
Yeah.
We're not going to the grass tie downs.
We're not going to the grass tie downs. We're talking about the... What gate is that? Right there by the brick hanger.
Gate 5.
Yeah. The tie downs between the brick hanger and the 5.
Gate 5.
No,
they're on the other side of the brick.
Okay.
That can't be what you're talking about.
No, I was talking about going towards the localizer.
You mean towards me?
Yes.
Between the localizer and the brick hanger, there's the question is do we keep those tied down or not? And one of the cost cutting to stay in the budget is to just take that asphalt out and turn it into grass.
You're trying to turn where I'm at into grass.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
That's the first we heard of this. Roger Matthews from the record, Transparent Edition.
Right.
It's the first I heard of this.
Well, and that's the first we've considered this.
There's a major problem down there right now. It has been for years with the drainage off of Alpha Ramp.
Yeah.
That apron where that water drains down into the aquifer or whatever it goes to is all eaten out. It needs to be repaved.
Well, the question is, do we repave that for the few people who use it, or do we just take the asphalt out, gravel it, maybe put some loam, plant some grass?
I've been there for 20 years, and I have 2, sometimes 3, and maybe 4 airplanes that run those tie downs. I think I'm a viable business to have those tie downs kept there and that area to be upgraded and repaved the way it should be.
Why would you want to reward us? I don't understand that at all.
We cannot maintain that. It has to be repaired. We cannot just put a band-aid on what's there. We have to totally remove it, go down 12 inches, put new gravels in, and put new full-depth asphalt down. The cost associated with that per square foot is then maybe the $50, $60 range versus a $10 range.
The reality is it should have been done the first time. We all know that. They should have done it then.
When where?
Now it's an issue.
First time when?
When they did the Alpha Ramp before.
Yeah.
They should have done it then. They did 2/3 of it and they left the last third where on Park Street.
They should have done it then. The cost would have been dramatically less.
You're speaking
of a hole in the project now.
You're speaking of when the runway was done?
That's correct.
That was ineligible at the time as it was not part of the original project, and we pushed the envelope of what could be included in that project.
Yeah.
So, to be quite frank.
So I mean, I guess what we're saying is it worth, this is one example, okay, do we want to keep and replace and maintain asphalt that is not public area, that everybody's not using? We're trying to concentrate on the essential areas, okay? In this particular area, up against that fence, we have adequate tie downs throughout the airport. Why do we want to keep these six up against the fence? I don't know. If we want to, great. We'll pull it out and spend, you know, $50,000 to repair that asphalt right there.
We don't have to decide this tonight.
Well, but can what I was it the cost then?
One more question. We're using the diagram here as an example of just as being illustrative of what we think that we're doing. Is that correct for what you were just describing? Because it looks to me...
No, it's included in this. We're getting prices for it.
It's one of our
first areas to cut back on, okay, if we're over budget.
Okay.
So it is included in the original plan here.
So this drawing
what we're looking at,
is what
like
we're
it's
asking
included.
Them to quote.
But it's also something that, okay, do we want to replace every single bit of asphalt that we currently have on the airport? Or is now about the time to look at it and say, are we using that? Or is it beneficial to us? Do our tenants need it? Do the users need it, et cetera?
I think some of that is tied into our master plan. But
yes.
Recognize Farrell.
Yeah, Farrell Woods for the record. Could someone please make that document available on the net for public?
Yeah, the budget's not even done yet. Okay, so, I mean, with the total package from Gail hasn't even been submitted to us. This is a preliminary one I got this week, actually. That's why nobody else has it. So, yes, we will. Absolutely. We will share everything we have just as soon as it's kind of out of the first draft mode. But I wanted to bring it up just so that, to get your attention so you do look at it and know that there's definitely some areas that we could save money on this asphalt replacement and maintenance program, but at what cost? Okay?
Mark Masters again, TriStar for the record. The FBI has that brick hangar there, and they use a lot of the pavement area to park their vehicles. Do you intend to repave that?
We've talked about cutting back there and talking to the FBI. The FBI is a very good tenant for this airport, okay?
Are they aware of this yet?
We have not talked to anybody, any tenants. We're right there scoping the asphalt, okay?
I suggest they talk to some people that are involved with that, being me, Roulette, and the FBI.
Michael West.
Westler, just I'd like to point out that when you talk about tenants contributing to this, my understanding is that anything like that as part of this project is project income. You don't get to keep it. It goes back to the FAA. And speaking as a representative of Hangar 109's Condo Association, if I'm going to buy pavement, I'm going to specify it. And I know that we're never going to put a 707 down the aisle that's around our hangar. So, for instance, the airport I live on only needs 2 inches of asphalt for the entire airport to handle the heaviest airplane that we can put there. Now, that's not the specs, obviously, that Gail's going to spec.
Yes, it is. I've had the same exact discussion with him a month ago when we walked it. And okay. We agreed that we do not need full depth landing asphalt in between our hangars, just 2 inches is fine.
Good.
Okay,
good.
The important thing is that we make sure we have drainage and we looked at the asphalt. If there's alligator cracking, that means there's subbase failure, it's gonna be dug out and patched. But it doesn't mean the whole thing needs to be patched. So would pick that spot, you know, repair the gravels here, here, and here, and then overlay the whole thing, okay, which may require some grinding up against the hangar doors. But if we don't have a pitch, that could be another problem. But the thing is, I'm hoping that what we have out there now is 4 inches of asphalt, and we can grind it down and overlay right up to it.
We don't. Around our building is 2. If you do work the drainage, based on other discussions about pollution and whatnot, I would encourage you to when you reinstall the storm drains, to locate them so that when an airplane comes out of the hangar and is fueled, that the drains are out in the middle or lined up with the edges of the hangar doors, so that, as we've had other discussions, that there's not an opportunity for any spilled fuel to get into the sewer system. Thanks.
I spend most of my time down in India, so I'm not as close to where you guys are as what we're talking about here. But, and I know you Stevie Park, that's where you guys tie down. What's the strong desire to stay there? You have a building right there next to, is that where your office is?
That's our home.
That's your, but I mean, the tie down itself, but are you
all? I've already lost the building I was operating out of because of this bloody runway that nobody wanted. I certainly don't want to lose where I'm operating for almost 20 years now.
So your facility, I'm asking, I don't know. Yeah. Bear with me. Your facility is right there. You're close, where are your offices?
The airplanes are right there. That's where I operate.
It's tied down. There's no building there.
Okay.
No, they already took the building down.
He has several airplanes. They fly
great.
A lot.
I know. I'm pretty sure I know the planes.
Yeah.
I know the time. Yeah.
And the people they've taught to fly have gone on and bought airplanes and based them here. So that is their home.
Yep.
I've said many times to Steve, well, come on down here, rent a space down here. They like to be there. They're near the fence. They have the back and forth with people who are just stopping by.
I know that's where the kids go. I know.
That is where they have been. It's part of what this airport is. I don't know if I've always agreed with it, but I wholeheartedly believe that they deserve to be
just trying to
in
understand.
Their spot.
This area right here is the greatest accessibility as far as allowing people to see, hear, smell, talk to anybody that will actually talk directly to them. That's me and Roger. Talking to them when they have questions.
Yep.
I've offered to become the airport ambassador of sorts, doing that very same thing, since I'm going to be there anyway because I love being there. And now you want to turn it into a bunch of loam and maybe throw some flowers in there? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that has not been discussed among any
it's
of us.
It's the first I've heard of it.
It's the first I've heard of it. So don't feel bad. It's the first we've heard of it, too. So don't feel like you're left in the dark because this is all new to us.
The key is that the grant proposal that will be submitted will include paving for that area at this point.
Like you're considering turning it into a grass patch.
Hey, look, I had to break the ice sometime. You know, like if I broke it 3 months from now, you'd be asking why I didn't tell you back in March, okay? But we just walked it last month.
I had to ask you several times.
I know. We just walked
the bottom of what it actually meant.
We walked it last month. We identified the extent, the scope of work, and what areas needed asphalt and which areas could be cut back on, okay? And with the budget numbers in so high, we got to take a serious look at the areas that do we want to spend $50,000 for an area for half a dozen tie-downs? Seriously. Okay, because the asphalt, I can tell you right now, that asphalt cannot be repaired. It has to be totally removed and corrected. Anybody refute that? I mean, the gaps are this wide.
Significant base failure is evident by the crack that's going on down there.
Does Gail need anything from this board at this point?
We have pretty good direction.
Does this board need to approve this project for submittal by April 12th?
We have a motion on the table to... No, that was the other.
That was the other one.
That was the other one. It would be in the best interest of my opinion.
So I think we should do the same thing because the submittal needs to happen before the board convenes. We don't have the price though. I can come up with a motion.
You can make it contingent upon fitting within the allowable grant funding. something to that effect. We've done it in the past.
Okay, I'll make a motion. I move that the board approve the submittal to the DOT and FAA, the funding request for the pavement reconstruction and maintenance project, New Hampshire DOT SBG 12-17-2016, subject to the chairman's final review of the proposal.
Can I ask one last loaded
question? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion.
Loaded question. The 95% design plan still includes the paving of that area, or does it not?
It does.
It does.
So if that were to be taken out, are we going to be, is that a discussion we're all going to have? I mean, you know, every step of the way, where the finances are going, what the budget is, you know?
Because that's what it would have to be, right? In other words, if this would only come, my understanding of this is that this would only change if the financing was such that we couldn't afford what we were anticipating to do. The bid came in much higher than we were expecting. At which point, in order to salvage the rest of the project, you're looking at areas that you would cut back, and that's one that you'd recommend.
Yes.
But we would have to take a vote on where we would...
Well, I don't know. The board
would have input.
I'm not going to say I recommend it. I'm going to say I identified it.
As one, okay? As a possible...
Another area that we identified was one 300-square-foot area that we weren't going to touch.
Right.
Okay? That's the green area on here.
Yeah.
Then there's another area is... Gee, there's a $30 million jet in there. Why are we paving all the way up to the door? And spend, you know, so maybe we go to those tenants and ask them to pave this with our contractor at these rates.
I think it's wise to look at various options and have things, you know, have contingency plans and so forth and so on. But nothing is.
We're getting prices for the whole thing right now.
Thank you.
And we would not. It would not automatically move forward if those items fell out. It would come back for discussion and input from the...
We still have to approve the project before, and the final budget.
Okay. Yeah. But we don't have another meeting before...
That's why the motion was to one person, the chairman, and just do a quick look and talk to the airport manager and you. And then, so it's just up to the chairman to sign off on it and let it go forward.
Alderman.
My question then, would the chairman have authority to scale that project back, or no?
I will get input from the board. And
but will it be a vote, or will it be phone call input, or I don't quite understand.
Both.
And I think that...
Let the chairman figure it out.
I was asking if it's going to be a vote, or if it's just going to be a decision.
No,
so,
I will not do it on my own. I will have input from the board with votes.
With votes?
Yeah.
Well, with votes or just discussions?
Email input with discussions.
Yeah. I guess the intent of my motion was to make sure that there was still someone with oversight before it went to the FAA and could say, no, this isn't it. But with the chairman could then make sure it got distributed to everybody, you as well as us, possibly, and got comments before it went to the FAA. And I would trust the chairman to handle that the way he sees best.
This is something we can post on the website.
Yeah.
What are you looking to post? The configuration and the options.
Scope of the project.
Scope and options that have been identified as cost-saving measures.
Yeah.
I don't see why not. Yeah. You've identified them based on the site walk that was voted to perform.
Okay. Good. The proposal won't go forward until the bids are in.
Right, we still have to get bids and vote on the bids and everything.
The scope of work and the plans and everything will be available weeks before the bids come in. When the bids come in, it'll be a few days. They'll rush, put the numbers into it, and then say, hey, we want to release it with these numbers. So,
and the board's going to vote on the project, the final project anyhow.
Yes. Yeah.
With public input?
Yeah.
It may come down to you guys. You may need to call a special meeting
with public input.
To finalize this and move forward with it.
Good.
It's up to you guys. How you want to handle it, though.
If the chairman so decides. Did I get a second on my motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? Do you want to repeat the motion?
Oh, sure. A motion to move forward with this asphalt project and the number subject to final approval by the chairman.
Okay. Motion's been moved and seconded. Discussion. We've had discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Are you all set, Eric?
That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Next is committees. Release Policy Committee. Mr. Stevens.
Police Policy Committee is still working on the charter and the membership, and I'd like to discuss the membership of this committee in a non-public session at the end of this meeting.
Okay.
And my goal is to put together to complete the charter and the recommendations using the force with the board's input for the next meeting.
Wes?
I think I have to point out that I don't think the RSAs allow for a non-public discussion of that particular topic. I believe it has to be done in a public session.
We're discussing people and membership, and
we're not discussing personnel and salary, though.
Personnel. It'd be a subcommittee working for this board, and it definitely consists of people and reviewing the qualifications of those people, which is private information, just like you'd be conducting a review of an employee.
I think I still have the objection.
Okay.
But we're talking about the appointment of a committee.
Yeah, the committee.
We're talking about to review the lease policies.
Right. Personnel involved in serving on the committee.
And I'm confused. After it's done, it becomes public. If the names are correct.
But not our evaluation of them. I don't want to be on public record. Some person might have over another.
I'm sorry. I thought that you wanted to go to non-public to appoint the committee members.
No.
Oh.
Just discussion.
So we're not talking about financial purposes for personnel. We're just talking about people you might
qualifications.
Want.
Oh, I do have it.
Qualifications.
RSA 91A3, non-public sessions.
Hmm.
I have a copy. If the chairman would like to review it, sir.
Can you just read it out?
Public bodies shall not meet in non-public session except for one of the purposes set out in paragraph 2. Paragraph 2 says, only the following matters shall be considered or acted upon in non-public session. A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee of the discipline of such employee. B, the hiring of any person as a public employee. C, matters which, if discussed in public, would likely adversely affect the reputation of any person other than a member of the public body itself, unless such person requests an open meeting. The exception shall be extended to any application for assistance or tax abatement, and so on. D, consideration of the acquisition, sale, or lease of real or personal property. E, consideration or negotiation of pending claims or litigation. F, considerations of applications by the Adult Parole Board. I hope no one here is covered by that. G, consideration of security-related issues. H, consideration of applications by the Business Finance Authority. I, consideration of matters relating to the preparation for and carrying out of emergency functions. J, consideration of confidential, commercial, or financial information that is exempt from published disclosure under RSA 91A:5. So,
I think we're covered under B and C.
It's C.
C is matters which, if discussed in public, would likely affect adversely the reputation of any person other than a member of the body itself. Frankly, I don't think you're going to discuss anything which would adversely affect anyone's reputation.
It could be totally embarrassing. I think so.
You're welcome to do that, sir.
Do you have a list of people you want on the lease committee?
No comment.
Sean.
That's something I want to discuss with you in a non-public meeting, okay?
A list?
And I think it's something we're totally qualified to do.
Sean. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Shane McLaughlin, for the record. Mr. Chairman, a question for the chair. Has the motion been made and has the board voted to actually form the committee and move forward with the process?
Not yet.
No, we'll do that when the charter is finished.
No,
we did.
Did we?
So I'd like to make, if I may, further comment. I'd like to suggest to you, as a fundamental premise, that the formation of a committee at this juncture to review existing or review your land leases is, if it is based on the assumption that the existing leases are flawed, I feel that that is itself a flawed assumption. I feel that the existing leases are not inherently flawed. There is some language with respect to existing leases that could be improved. For example, and this has been brought up by other members in the past, the CPI escalator class, for example. If the fundamental premise is that the leases are too long and they ought to be shorter, we've heard discussions in the past by the authority that perhaps the leases ought to be 10 years or rolling 10 years renewed every year or some other such thing. I think that the mere inception of a committee to review this status of the leases will have an adverse effect in a couple of ways. First, during the pendency of the review process, I think you run the risk of jeopardizing existing property values. Buildings, the issue of whether or not a building can be sold at the end of 10 years or at the end of 20, at the end of a lease, whether the leases will be renewable or not, whether there's going to be a reversionary clause, this is all going to be up in the air. And the long-established practice that the airport has had that is enshrined in the leases that you now have, which fundamentally are 20 plus 20 years, often with a third 20-year renewal, subject to renegotiation of the essential terms of the lease, that will be thrown into question. And that will introduce fundamentally uncertainty in the business community with respect to property values, willingness of underwriters to finance purchase or sale of units, as well as for our ability to bring in long-term tenants who may wish to lease, for example, for 10 years if you've only got six remaining, because we will now have the inability to represent to them that the airport authority will be continuing with the process that it's already established over the last 35 years. I think that the existing leases we have, the language could be better, perhaps, with respect to the CPI escalator clause, but the fundamental philosophical concept you have, 20 plus 20, essentially, third 20-year option in many cases, is a good process. It's a good lease. It's long enough to give financial stability to an underwriter, and yet it's not too long with respect to the airport authority. I think that if the purpose is to increase land rents, I don't know that that needs a comprehensive review process. If you're going to do that moving forward, you can establish land rents. I would suggest to you that does not need to happen. I know you're looking for revenue, but we exist in a declining revenue environment ourselves. I think if the purpose is to establish a reversionary clause in the leases, which does not now exist, where the airport authority might, for example, own the building at the end of the lease. Most of the leases do not have that provision. That would be very problematic and would shake the very foundations of the business community and the philosophical concept upon which the growth of this airport has been founded so successfully over the years. So those are my comments, and I would suggest that you give careful thought now and not form this committee at this juncture for the purpose of substantially revising the fundamental philosophy of the leaseholds that you are now giving. And if it's a question of looking at a new lease rates, that's something you could do. I think people might find it objectionable amongst many of us. But I don't know that you ought to be addressing the fundamental philosophy that underlies all of the leases that so many of us have relied on over the years and continue to for estate planning as well as other purposes. Thank you.
Thank you.
To answer the question that was originally asked, the board has not voted on the charter issue.
There was no motion.
It was in last month's meeting, and Director Stevens brought up the subject. He discussed the possible composition of the committee. I'm not trying to put any words in his mouth, but then he said he will bring back a finalized charter of the committee for the next meeting, which is where we are today.
Which is not ready. Which I'd like to...
Which you just did. Yeah.
So, if I could... we don't even know the charter of the committee that you're proposing, so we don't necessarily even know the intent of this. I'm responding sort of to your comments, Shane. Is it inherently bad that we have a policy on how we do leases? In other words, I see where you're going, and I understand your concern that if people perceive that there's going to be some massive change in the way we do business, that would make it difficult for you to be able to forecast conditions for potential customers. Am I summarizing more or less correctly?
You are. I would say I suggest to you this. You have a policy, in fact.
Do we?
No. Sure.
We have leases, and we've got a standard contract. We don't have a lease policy, but the thing is that we're not looking for to create an adversarial or a non-business friendly environment. We have people requesting renewals, and every one of our leases out there, all 48 of them, are subject to a third 20-year extension to be negotiated. What negotiations? Okay, it could be anything. Okay, so this board needs to get their hands around that, so that when our tenants come to us and want to extend, renew, we can give them the terms, and we can make those terms available to everybody on the airport and have them right out there. This is what the terms are for the Nashville Airport. I don't know what those terms are. And that's why I'd like to form a bipartisan, very broad, from different people, not just airport people, but from city people, et cetera, say, okay, this is how the Nashville Airport is going to move forward. This is our lease policy. Got a problem with it, bring it to the board. But it's out in the open, okay, for everybody to understand. Look on the internet. What does it take to lease land at the Nashville Airport? That's my goal, is bring it out in the open.
Can you form your committee without having us discuss it in non-public session?
I certainly can. I put the whole thing together, but it's the first thing in the question is, who'd you talk to about this? Where'd you come up with this? And, you know, I want it to be the board's decision of what the deliverables are. And I'm not going to discuss the deliverables. I'm going to discuss potentials of different people or types of people that are on the committee. I don't want to bring out anybody's name in public unless the committee as a whole says, yeah, we want that person on. This board as a whole says, yes, we want to put that person on the committee.
This sort of flies in the face of the transparency thing that we're talking about. So you want to get you want to get whatever we're doing with leases and the policy that pertains to out into the open, but we can't talk about the people that might do that.
Well, yeah. I guess what I'm... If you don't think that it would be potentially embarrassing to discuss the qualifications of contributors to this committee, then, yeah, we can do it in public hearing. But I'm just thinking that it might be a little bit more diplomatic to do it.
Maybe I'm, I don't know. I'm thinking that the way that something like, I'm a neophyte here, you know, so forgive me, but I would think that that's the kind of thing where you said, hey, we're thinking of doing this. Who's interested in doing that? You might put out some sort of a public thing. The people will respond, and those that do should acknowledge or recognize that some vetting of their qualifications or some discussion about who they are might take place.
We're definitely going to do that.
Okay, so...
So we're going to do a little bit of both. We're going to invite some people, and we're going to say, find out who's interested. A little bit of both.
All right.
We can discuss that, though.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to respond to Mr. Mahoney's question to me. I started to respond to you. You had asked the question, do we have a policy?
You had actually said we have a policy, and I asked, do we? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I feel you do have a policy. You have a current policy of 20-year ground lease with a second 20-year renewal. The lease is at the current land lease rate, which was established years ago, with or raised by the CPI, typically U escalator.
But is that documented in anything other than individual leases?
Yep, it's documented in all the leases.
So in other words, there's not a separate policy per se. It's just that all the leases that exist today have this same basic structure.
Yes.
All of ours do.
So, okay.
And there are many. So you have established by trade practice and custom a policy over the last 35 years. So whether that's enshrined in a specific constitution, if you will, perhaps not, but the framework of what you've established is well known and well understood.
Sure.
20 years plus 20. Yes, there is a provision that the third option for renewal is subject to renegotiation of the terms and conditions. But the answer to this is very simple. Simply renew the lease based on the existing terms and conditions. If you want to raise the rent, you can discuss that, but the rest of the
language... But there's where you're jumping out of the policy. We do not have a single, I haven't been to find it, record of renewing that third term. There is no policy for that renegotiation.
I brought five copies.
Of
what?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Jim Gamposi.
Please pass them along.
And I'm going to speak soon, but I did exercise the third option.
Well, you're questioning too.
No, I have, and I've got the documentation to show you tonight.
Okay,
Mike, that's a binding agreement.
You'll forgive me if I take a second to figure out what it is I'm actually looking at.
Mr. Ballheim can speak to it since he negotiated it, but it's an agreement that in 2024, the Hangar Association will get 20 more years. We will talk about the other terms and conditions at that time. But that's signed, notarized, sealed.
We should have John again.
And I have a copy of the original lease here if you'd like to look at it.
Jim, do you have a copy of yours? I know what I'm looking at.
Would you like?
Do you have a copy of your extension?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I was going to give all board members a copy.
Okay, thank you.
So, Wes, my understanding of what I'm looking at is something that says that part of the lease, that the addendum to the lease that you've got,
right,
says that 90 days before the whatever lease you're operating under terminates, you notify the lessor in writing that you intend to option that, that next one.
That or we tear down the building.
Right. But then the second one then does say, and I think this is what Shane was getting to, the additional term is subject to renegotiation of all terms and conditions. So in other words, everything kind of goes back up into the air.
This document right here is factual for all 48 contracts as far as I'm concerned, okay? For what I've reviewed and what the terms are and what the policy of the Airport Authority has been, every contract has a third 20-year period to exercise subject to renegotiations of all terms and conditions, okay? when you tell us you're going to extend to 20, we need to sit down and be ready within 90 days to give you the new terms. And I don't think that we can do that unless we have a policy that's in place. And I think you should know now, not 90 days from 2024, when your second term expires, what your third term is going to be. Okay? What conditions are going to be there in 2024 for you?
I would suggest that if my crystal ball today could tell me what I would need in 2024, what the economic conditions will be in 2024, that I would go make a killing on the stock market tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I understand, but there's people there who want to buy. There's people out there who want to buy, and they do want to know what's going to happen 8 years from now, because they might want to be financing over 15 or 20 years, okay? So, there's a big black hole of information here. Let's bring it out in the open. Let's sit down and let's do what's right for everybody and identify what it takes to be a lessor here or a tenant.
Has Prasco given us any input on that third term for the negotiations or anything? Has he given us any ideas, any input?
I haven't asked him.
Okay. I can speak to that when it's my turn.
Okay, all the gentlemen first.
Thanks. I'm not one of the lessees, so it doesn't concern me directly, but I certainly respect all the comments that are made, and they all make sense to me. My suggestion was going back to the personnel for the committee. If there's no charter yet, there's no point in talking about people. So get a charter, vote on that, make that public, and then it's more sensible to talk about people at that time, in my opinion.
Mr. Chairman, I would say this. If you want to form a committee for people to look at lease policy, that's fine. And maybe it should be a standing committee. But don't let it become a moratorium on what's going on at this airport today. Because if you've got a present tenant who is trying to, exercise an option or anything, and he's told we can't deal with you because we're in the process of looking at things, it'll kill the airport. They'll never finance anything. Nobody will be able to sell. We'll kill the airport. So it cannot become a moratorium while you're going through this process. I think you have to go through your lease review and come up with plans as you go forward. And from that point forward, you can deal with tenants. But don't let it become a moratorium.
I know there's been a lot of people have expressed to me a fear about reversion, the reversion clause. I know in the grant assurances, I talked about that. It does say somewhere, I don't know which number it is, that the FAA would like to see a reversion clause. But then it also says, we don't read your leases. So I said, well,
what is that?
So if after a period of time, if the property reverts back to us, you know what it is because you've talked about it. And I know people have fear that that's what you're shooting for.
I'm shooting for an open answer to those questions. What happens in 40 years or 60 years?
Right.
Wes?
I'd like to point out a couple of things. First of all, there's a certain kind of ideas that can be floated that people view positively, and there are certain kinds of ideas, as you're hearing, that people view very negatively, and while a freewheeling idea session can be a good thing, all of these ideas like reverting hangars and stuff are reasons for people to say, I should go base my airplane in Fitchburg. I was based for some time at an airport that tried that, and what you get is people put up the cheapest buildings they can because they know they're not going to own them in a while. When people invest in a piece of property for the long term, that's reflected in what they build, what they maintain. If you would like pole barns here, tell people that in so many years they're going to have to give them to the airport. If you want quality buildings that people can drive down the road and say, wow, that's a great airport, people are going to take care of their stuff, then you want to encourage them to take the long view that in many, many years, they'll still be living there. Thank you.
I'd like to direct Stevens to come, since this is tabled till next month, I'd like you to come back at next month with a charter that we can review and discuss. And then once we have a charter, then we can discuss personnel.
Right.
Okay. Also, would it be possible?
A draft charter was submitted to all the board members at the last meeting a month ago, but it was maybe half of what a real charter should be. And so what I'll do is I'll finish drafting up that charter, plus I plan to make a list of deliverables, okay?
Sure.
Specifically, the questions for the board to ask the committee to make decisions on certain issues. And the draft committee makeup was also submitted. And I'm going to pursue to continue to nominate candidates and talk to people about it. Sure. Unless the board wants me to change any of that.
Well, my question was with respect to the gentleman's question or statement about being in non-public or public, perhaps we should get an opinion from the city attorney here before next.
Yeah. Opinion and opinion. I'm not talking about anybody in public.
Yeah.
Whether it's an employee, a friend, a tenant, I'm not going to evaluate
your... We can ask the city attorney. Or our attorney.
Who should do that?
Yeah.
We should ask our attorney. The city attorney doesn't
know. Yeah. So
we have a plan.
And then, in as much as you haven't voted on even having a committee yet, then once you see the charter, then you can discuss whether or not you want to have a committee and move forward and then have a discussion and then make that vote.
Okay. Thank you all.
And just as a final point, I'm doing this solo so far. We don't even have a second board member selected. It would be nice to have the board's opinion on people being considered for this committee so I can bring them in to help write the charter, okay? But I will continue to work on this solo and try to put something for you at the next meeting.
Is there a director that would be interested in assisting Director Stevens? Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Old business. Parking lot leases. It's you again.
I really haven't done anything with that. I was all for just a month-to-month negotiated lease by the airport manager, and when we attempted to move forward with that last meeting, it was, I guess, shot down that other board members wanted to review the lease terms.
Right.
So what I would say is that I don't need to be involved in this. I was just giving my opinion on the matter. Maybe a board member and the airport manager can maybe bring this to conclusion or two. How do we want to move forward with this? Because if every time we want to lease something, it takes five people to come to terms on the term, the contract, the amount, nothing's going to get done.
Mr. Treasurer, would you be able to work with the airport manager to resolve this issue?
I'm happy to. Because I know that I'm probably the guy that caused more of the trouble, but I'm happy to talk to Steve about it. And my concerns are the same as they were last time, which is that just as we're talking about being consistent in the way we do things like building leases, I think we should be consistent in stuff like this here. And I think it should be, first off, something that we have the authority to do, something that is legal to do, and something that makes sense to do. So, yeah, I'm happy to talk to Steve about what we've gotten. Mm-hmm. We'll try to bring something forward before.
And I'm with you on consistency. I don't think it's fair to come up with a term for one business.
It's different for somebody else and so forth and so on.
And we do have to make sure liability-wise. I guess so that's something FASCA should.
The issue here is that the only contract we have that we've used often in the past is a 20-year terms and a 20-year extension. Now, do you want to give
this is different.
A parking? Yes.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's totally different. We own the land. We have an opportunity to make money. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with doing a month-to-month, no obligation. The minute the parking gets, it starts impact against aviation use, we stop doing it. Okay?
I'd like to cut off discussion on this topic.
Okay.
It's committee to the treasurer and the airport manager, and they'll come back to us next month.
Roger that.
Okay. Registration fees, Director Cushing Adams.
So I had scheduled a meeting for March 21st to, what was the wording, Greg? to discuss the current and future state of registration fees in New Hampshire for airplanes. Because some of us feel it's a huge issue. So I've done a lot of research on it. I've called a lot of people. I had a meeting scheduled for the 21st. However, some of the aldermen won't be able to make it. The mayor won't be able to make it. There's been some meetings scheduled after the fact. Dean Sautier was kind of iffy. So there's quite a few people that I really want to participate that was not a good date for them. So I postponed it. I don't have a new date yet. I'm waiting to hear back from a few people. But when I do, I'm shooting for the beginning of April, the first couple weeks in April. So I'll keep you all posted on that. And do me a favor. I would like a lot of you to speak and come up with ideas and presentations and whatever. The biggest thing I'm running into is a lot of people are very passionate about it, but they say, we have to get the legislators to put it through. And nobody is really banding together and coming up with what we need to do to make some changes. We don't have to get rid of the fees necessarily, but we should lower them, in my opinion. So I'm shooting for the first few weeks in April, and I'll keep you posted on that. Okay.
I think that's a good idea. Thanks. One quick question, Steve. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Sure.
I think you have the floor.
Oh, is that something that the organization that you belong to, with state airport managers, do they have a position? Is there any thoughts going forward on that?
We
seem to be at a disadvantage, just from a finance guy's perspective.
It is a double-edged sword. You're talking about taking away funding that airports get directly from the registration fees.
Yep.
You're talking about funding that the airports get indirectly, and the 5% state contributes to our capital projects. The Department of Transportation right now, they get about $1 million a year from the registration fees, and I think they get about $250,000 from fuel taxes, which are very low. Mm-hmm. With that money, they leverage about $3.5 million worth of money that comes back to the airports in the form of registration fee returns, and also the FAA money that they're able to get for their share of our capital projects. So, what I said at our last ASAMA meeting is it gives us pause as airport managers because we don't want to see that funding disappear. We don't want to see it dry up and go away. There are other airports that rely on that money. I mean, we're one of them. That plugged a pretty big hole in our budget.
So, would you say then that the position of that group is in favor of the fee structure as it is now?
I wouldn't say that. No, I think that might be going too far. I think it's something that's worth looking at. But again, it's a very complicated issue, and it's not something that I don't think an aircraft operator is going to look at our registration fee structure here in the state and say, the registration fees are too high, I'm not putting my airplane in New Hampshire. They're going to look at a much bigger picture. They're going to look at the sales tax on the aircraft. They're going to look at hangar fees. They're going to look at fuel taxes. So I guess that hasn't answered your question yet. It's something that should be looked at for sure.
I just wondered where they stood, just to know going in.
I think I can give you some numbers, okay? The economic output of all aviation in New Hampshire is $2.1 billion.
And this is from?
This is from the DOT study that they did last year. The New Hampshire state revenue, okay, is $32 million from aviation. That's the tax revenue they collect, $32 million. Of that tax revenue, the registration fees are a little over $1 million. So because of the $1 million out of the $32 they get, okay, that $1 million is probably, and these guys can tell you better than me, probably the number one cork in the bottle to jet aviation growth in New Hampshire. Okay? So, but that if that jet aviation, the other general aviation growth, and getting these people here in Nashville versus across the border, where Massachusetts just did cut their registration fees big time, so they're killing us. Instead of bringing that stuff here, because of the revenue, the multiplier effect, the leverage that having those jets here gives us, contributes to that $2.1 billion, okay?
Yeah.
And so the cost of that $1 million registration fee is keeping us from growing that $2.1 billion, and, you know,
I question Steve, without knowing all the details that you do, the value of the high thing and a guaranteed small number versus the potential for a much bigger intangible number, and I get it.
And the DOT gave us the data to go fight this for the registration.
But it does beg the question of, you know, why are the, if Massachusetts recently made a change there, you know, why did they do that?
The answer is that they did it because it made economic sense to do it.
You would think so.
And the gentleman brought up an issue with a multi-million-dollar aircraft that's not going to stay here.
Right.
And another gentleman said that it would have contributed $100,000 worth of income to this airport per year that we're not going to get.
Right.
And the state of New Hampshire isn't going to get. And there are reasons why New Hampshire doesn't have a sales tax. And every time I go to the parking lot in the malls, I say, thank you, Massachusetts. Thank you, Matt. They're paying our taxes. They're supplementing our input. Based on the meeting that you had last week with the Airport Association and the literature that we've gotten from that, the attitude of the House is pretty much anti-airport. There's no question about it. Not funded, not funded, not funded. And to go back to them and say, hey, we'd like you to give up this $1 million and maybe you're going to get this, it's probably
an uphill battle. They wouldn't get
it's an uphill battle and we're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. We just need to keep hammering away that if you reduce it, not necessarily cut it out, but reduce it, you will attract other people to come here and that will increase it.
Right.
I'd like to open up to the floor.
I think you're all directly on track. I'm very sympathetic to Steve's viewpoint with respect to the funding aspect. Unfortunately, we don't operate in a vacuum. What we've got is Massachusetts, who is our biggest competitor, has essentially zero or nominal aircraft registration fees for large aircraft in the $1,000 range, I believe. Correct. And they eliminated their sales tax on aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they don't, to my knowledge, have a sales tax on is aircraft. So you can sell your $50 million jet down there, and there's zero. And so they did that, of course, to compete with the state to the north, which is us. And that's what we offered. The other point, scheduling, recall that Sun and Flying, I believe, is the first or
April
2. April 5th through
April
2.
Yeah, I'll look at some dates, Shane. I'm waiting to hear back from...
But I applaud your efforts to give this consideration. This is very important to us.
If I want to change legislation, the first thing I'd do is talk to a lobbyist, interview them for their qualifications, talk about the deliverables that I wanted to achieve with them, and find out what their budget would be to lead this effort. Because when you want to pass state legislation, you need to find the correct bipartisan individuals, because the state legislature that you want to represent this bill needs to be credible, needs to be solid, and you need to be knocking on doors and talking to not just your home legislatures, but the entire state. You need to get other airports involved. And the bottom line, I could talk for a long time about this. Bottom line,
what you want
is we need money. We need to pass the hat. What we need is a lobbyist who does this for a living,
and I know a couple.
Wes.
Farrell.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'll shut up for once. So for what it's worth, according to my calendar, Sunday Fund runs April 5 to April 10. My question for you specifically, Mr. Chair, is what is the action item before the board with respect to this agenda item?
Which one?
The registration fees.
Registration fees.
What is the action item before the board with respect to this?
The action item, I believe, is to review the current situation on fees and to identify if there's a way to come up with a better solution.
Okay, and I think that was the subject of the meeting that Sandy's trying to
get. That's right. That is what we're gathering. You know, I have a lot of speakers coming. A lot of people are going to participate to give us, you know, views from every side. Ken Weiler will be there. There'll be a lot of people that, you know, there are different views on it. And sometimes people just don't understand the full scope. So we want to make sure we know going forward if we're doing the right thing or not and what we need to do, lower them or get rid of them or whatever. So we'll work on that.
Well, but even that would only be to determine what, if any, our role
right.
as an authority would be in any subsequent effort to make some sort of change.
Right. We just want to educate ourselves. I don't know if we'll need a role. But
right.
We'll
just as an aside, I had a meeting with a couple of legislators earlier today and mentioned the subject, and they were totally shocked to hear that the aviation has departed from New Hampshire and gone to Massachusetts. So it is an educational process for the legislators, and we need to determine what a strategy would be and how we would attain change, if that's what we want. Mm-hmm. Over the gentleman.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing. I think that we have to kind of get some momentum, get enough people, if DOT is on board, and we got Nashville Airport on board, maybe we can involve people from Portsmouth, maybe from Manchester, then you get enough groups, then you have more sway when you go and start lobbying.
Right. That's what we do. We have people
from everywhere. Okay, anything else?
No.
Okay. Moving along. Landing fees. Last meeting we had a discussion about that heavy aircraft. I'm going to pass that down. Do not pay a fee here, whereas they do other places. And what I have here is an analysis of a jet that is roughly 85,000 pounds as a landing weight. Manchester charges $220, Bedford $187, and Worcester $189, and Pease zero.
And are we currently zero as well?
Mm-hmm.
And we're currently at zero. And what I would suggest we would consider is to institute a fee of $1.10 per 1,000 pounds, which is half the Bedford rate, which would make our rate be about $94. A lighter, large Beechcraft King Air, of 15,000 pounds, that would cost $17 at Nashua at those rates. Manchester, they're currently paying $37, Bedford $33, Worcester $35. Instituting this fee would result in revenue generated approximately $5,000 to $8,000 per year. And I would.
Is that based on the volume that we have currently?
Currently, yes.
So you're presuming no drop off as a result
correct.
Of this?
Correct.
Question. These are visiting aircraft, correct?
transient.
The transient, yeah. Okay. So the motion I'd like to make is to institute a landing fee for transient aircraft over 12,500 pounds at a rate of $1.10 per 1,000 pounds MLW, effective May 1st, 2016.
I'll second.
So,
okay, discussion.
It's like a Pilatus written, be subject to a fee.
Are they under 12.5?
I don't know.
They're under 12.5.
I thought so.
Yeah.
And this is transient only, this is not anybody that's based it.
Correct.
Is there any comment?
Any input from the public? Yes, Andy.
Andy, for the record, a couple of things involved in that. First off, you start throwing a landing fee in. The planes go elsewhere. You'll lose traffic here to Ashford. You're trying to encourage people coming here, so that you're going to discourage another group over here. Second thing is, what's it going to cost to collect a landing fee from various transient aircraft in terms of manpower on the part of Steve and his office staff and so forth?
We
assume that they're working pretty hard right now doing stuff that they're doing to put this on them.
That fee can be collected by Infinity. We've had discussions with them. Whether there'll be a charge for that's up for discussion, but it shouldn't be that much if it's anything.
And most jets, according to and those guys, expect to pay a landing fee. Jets of that size, they're shocked when they don't. So, Greg, maybe you can speak more to that.
Well, okay, I don't have too much to say other than that nobody wants fees, nobody wants to do anything that might potentially drive away business. When this was first brought up, it was something that we were discussing when everybody was looking for revenue for the airport. You know, where do we find revenue? And it seemed like every step of the way, and with all due respect to the board, it kept falling on the users to generate that revenue, okay, because we're here all the time. So instituting landing fees on transient aircraft is a way to generate revenue without burdening the users of the airport. I was the one actually who suggested cutting it off at 12.5 because you are a few hundred absolutely in the category of aircraft where my experience tells me nobody's going to complain. It is a commercial venture for every single one of those people. They are not coming to this airport for fuel. They're coming because they need to come here. So, you know, it's an easy revenue stream. It's not even a lot of money, I mean, but it still will make a difference on the airport's budget. And it will not scare anybody. We do have some light turbo prop aircraft that come into the field just for fuel because of the pricing. They come in Hurricane Sandy's restaurant, as a matter of fact, as well. So
for the
this
pricing,
doesn't affect
not
them. This doesn't affect them at all because they're under 12.5. So, and as far as the administrative costs, we're dealing with every single one of these people. So we really don't have an issue with, you know, helping out on that end. We're running a check to the airport every month anyway. We can just add it on to that without a tremendous amount of effort. I'm not saying I'm doing it for nothing, but
duly noted.
I said it wouldn't be much effort. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's a step in a direction that, you know, quite frankly, I think we should have looked at a while ago before we started talking about something flowage fees and other things. But, you know, we're here now. And I support it.
If an aircraft is transiting the area and they land to get fuel, do they have to pay a landing fee for that?
Adventure.
That's what. Yeah. Only for, they're only coming in for fuel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They land here, they have to.
That's what this.
If they're over 12,500 pounds, according to this.
That's
they're not coming in for
the motion.
You do that anywhere, though.
Okay.
But
and that's to that's
that
to.
That's not going to happen. That doesn't happen here. You're talking about like a tech stop just for fuel because they're going overseas or something like that. That is not what this airport. The reason I'm telling you it's not going to happen is because we tried to make it happen for a lot of years, and it's just not. We are not in that business, okay? Keys, Bangor, those airports, they have that business, and they have the fuel pricing to reflect it because they're literally pumping millions and millions and millions of gallons of fuel in long runways, they have customs, they have all that stuff.
So
you're not going to scare with you.
And so what's Concord Lawrence charge?
Lawrence has a fee. I don't know what did you look at Lawrence?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Lawrence has a fee for everything that goes.
Yeah.
Lawrence, if you show up in anything, actually I don't know if it has a fee for single. I know it has anything for the twin engine and up.
Twin engine's up.
Yeah. Okay.
Bedford. I know Bedford will take it all the way down. We still get angel flight fees. We still end up having to get it. We have to write them a letter to get them to waive the fees.
For angel flight?
Yeah, they still charge it. It's crazy.
Wow.
So, but to Andy's point, if the pricing that's in front of us is correct, Manchester at 220 and 207s for similarly sized aircraft is not going to be an option for them. They're just not going to, you know what I mean? It shouldn't be off-putting.
Why do you even attract somebody?
You might even try. Well, not better than nothing, but.
Mike's looking it up over here.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
So, yes, there is, and it's been seconded to adopt this.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I don't favor this. And I don't favor it because I think it's a marketing issue to me. Is the $5,000 to $8,000 annual improvement worth the potential landing fee stigma we get by having it published in the airport directory? And I know I hate landing fees. I avoid airports that have them, but of course I don't have to pay them for over $12,500.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I read past the point of fast reading landing fee, searching for a place to land, and both for somebody without landing fees. And I think it's a poor marketing decision. I don't think it's financially rewarding enough to offset the negative impacts of having a landing fee, period.
Any other input?
I think it's worth trying. I think that all that information from the DOT on the volume of airplanes and all that sort of stuff, it shows a downturn. We're in decline. Mm-hmm. And while we don't want to scare people away, I don't think this will do it. I think that we can behave like normal airports, like Manchester and Bedford and if they want to go to P's and not pay a fee, well, maybe we'll see some change. But if we see any decline in our volume, I think we'll have a clear idea. And if we have someone who's coming here all the time and suddenly they're not getting gas here, they're going somewhere else, probably be a phone call and say, hey, why aren't you coming here anymore? They say, well, we're not going to pay the fee, then we'll have some information. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
What a number of airports have done, from my own experience, is if you go there and you fill up your aircraft, they'll waive the landing fee. And as far as the stigma that's attached to it, if it's in the AFD as having a landing fee, that is off-putting, unless you have something in there that says specifically for aircraft greater than 12.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That way you get fuel flow
mm-hmm.
fees,
yeah.
And everybody's happy. They know that if they put fuel on there, they don't have to pay the landing fee, but you still have some money coming in.
But you still publish it as having a landing fee, and that's waived by the FBO.
On that, though, for greater than 12.5.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a ramp fee. Most airport landing fees are kind of second.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me like three times where I did not have to pay a landing fee because I bought fuel. And I intentionally, hey, I only need 10 gallons. I still have the landing fee waived. So
yeah, there's usually a minimum.
Yeah.
All right. We ready to move?
All right. We'll have to roll call vote on this.
Okay.
Well, are we going to modify the
subject?
No.
No, because you said everything you needed to say.
Yeah.
You want to say it again?
Well, are we going to incorporate the suggestion you just made that if the landing fee is waived if you fill up?
No.
No? Okay.
Waived if they fill up?
He's asking if you amend the motion.
I fill up for 12,500 pounders, like $3,000 or $4,000. $17 is like a, they don't care about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Sorry. Chairman Stevens? Chairman Roosevelt?
Yes.
And Vice Chairman Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Treasurer Mahoney?
Yes.
And Secretary Scheifele?
Yes.
And Director Stevens?
No.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Next is on the agenda the transfer of lease E-1442. Peter.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Jim Tamposi. I apologize for my voice. I've got a cold. I'm here on behalf of my dad, James Tamposi, Sr. For those of you who know him, he's 96. He's in Florida right now. His T-hanger is the one furthest to the 3-2 side. When you look out from the brick hanger, you see that T-hanger? That's the one we're talking about. But anyway, my dad recently had an estate plan done by the McLean Law Firm, and we formed a revocable trust to own everything that he owns. So I'm transferring, you know, his house, his hangar, everything that he owns into this revocable trust. And so I requested permission in the assignment document from the authority for this transfer. When I drafted the assignment, I reiterated the term and mentioned that he had exercised his 20-year option, which ends December 31st, 2021, which is only 6 years from now. I went on to add, additionally, at its July 20th, 2004 monthly business meeting, the Nashua Airport Authority voted to allow each current 2020 leaseholder to request an additional 20-year extension to his current lease, which lessee elected, thereby increasing the term by yet another 20 years from January 1, 2022 until December 31, 2041. I gave this to Steve, which then I understand had to go to your legal counsel, Nick Frasca. And Nick crossed off that 20-year renewal. I don't know if you've seen this.
I don't think everybody has both copies. They only have the copy.
I think I have the original one.
You have the original?
I think I had emailed to me the original one.
Show you what this is. Steve Frasca's writing that crossed that off.
I have both copies. So the one that you originally gave and then the amended one that was presented tonight in the board package.
I understand Nick Frasca felt that since the extension is on terms to be negotiated, how can you exercise an option? My point is this. We have no choice. Certainly, we have trust in the Airport Authority. The Airport Authority doesn't treat people differently. Whatever rates are set are going to be standard for the entire airport, and it's what we'll all pay. But, like I said, we have no choice. I'm not about to let that hangar go in 6 years. We've got 10 T-hangers. And whatever the terms we can negotiate, I'm fine with. I do want the airport to acknowledge that we have exercised it.
Anyway,
when Steve sent me this, I was, well, okay, you know. But then I had a chance to look at it. And I said, well, you know, what did I do back in 2004? And I found, you know, my paperwork. But I'd like to give this to you and just walk you through it.
used up on.
Thanks, Jim.
We've got two left. Anybody want one?
Probably just like the one I handed out.
But I would like to, you know, walk you through it, and I'll do some reading. But August 26, 2004, my dad received this letter from the Airport Authority. And dear Mr. Tamposi, at the July 20th, 2004 monthly business meeting of the Nashua Airport Authority, a motion was passed allowing all current 2020 leaseholders to request an additional 20-year extension to their current lease. The following terms will apply to the extension. Number one, not less than 90 days before the natural termination of the second term herein provided for, the lessee shall notify the lessor in writing of its election to lease the demise premises for said additional 20-year term. Number two, this additional term shall be subject to renegotiation of all terms and conditions. In order to take advantage of this 20-year extension, you must submit a request to this office in writing. There will be a $25 administrative fee to cover filing charges. For any questions, call Shirley, who was the then office manager. The next thing you see here is my, I sent it certified.
And you paid the $25.
Shirley got it and sent it, signed for it. And I will read my letter to the board exercising that. It's regarding Boorfield lease to James N. Tamposi, dated September 1, 1995, of lot E-1442, exercise of option to renew. Dear board members, and then the balance of that page just describes the lease and book and page and all that kind of stuff. On the second page, this letter is in response to the Nashua Airport Authority's letter to Mr. Tamposi, dated August 26, 2004, a copy of which is attached for your convenience, notifying him that at its July 20th, 2004 monthly business meeting, the authority voted to allow all current 2020 leaseholders to request an additional 20-year extension to their current lease. Please accept this letter as the lessee's written notice of their election to lease the premises for an additional 20-year term, such term to begin on January 1, 2022, and end on December 31, 2041. The lessees understand that the lease terms and conditions will be renegotiated for this additional 20-year term. Also enclosed is this firm's check in the amount of $25 payable to the Nashua Airport Authority, representing the administrative fee to cover the filing charges.
Question.
Yes.
Were the lease terms renegotiated for the additional 20-year term?
They have not yet been. We haven't heard. So all I've done so far is to say, yes, we've accepted the 20-year lease extension. We realize they'll be renegotiated.
Right.
Okay. And then I've got a copy of my $25 check, and you can see where it cleared.
And it cleared
my,
and everything.
And it cleared my account. So the and believe it or not, I found that today. I went to Dead Files and found
impressive.
My. So the board did receive my letter exercising the option, cashed my $25 check for the filing fee. And so I feel that we have exercised the option to renew. Certainly, I believe we've got a lease. The terms might be, you know, unknown, but beyond the six-year termination of the original one. So that's what I'm here to do tonight, is to request your consent for the
assignment to this new estate planning trust. But I'd also like to talk about the fact that I believe we have exercised this 20-year extension. I think that, to say that we have not exercised it simply because the terms are unknown isn't right. Because, like I said, we don't have a choice. Land leases are a little different than commercial land leases. If we went up to Route 101, I've done a lot of land leasing. If we go up to Route 101 and you find land leases, everybody's got different terms. It's all negotiated. An airport authority is a different structure. You're going to come up with a policy, but it's going to apply to everybody. You're not going to charge me more than Shane McLaughlin or vice versa. It's whatever the you know, the land lease rates are, that's what we're going to pay. And so that's the way I feel, that we have exercised the 20-year option. I would like the board to publicly acknowledge that. You do have my letter, and you've already had my $25.
Do you have record of this? Where would you find record of all of this stuff?
With the file.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
He didn't look when he turned that in, when we got this request? We didn't dig all that up?
Does anybody think that that isn't true?
No, that's before the report. In addition to this, yeah. Okay, the board in June of 2004 mm-hmm. pretty much gave that the hangar 7 and the yours, which
109, 107, 105.
In addition to those two extensions, they did a blanket extension to every tenant on here. So you're not alone. Everybody has that. Mm-hmm. And everybody has the same clause to be negotiated. Not a single issuance have I seen that doesn't have that to be negotiated. So to me, there is no contract. No, not one of our tenants can go to the bank with it and say, I've got another 20 plus years, okay? That's what we need to fix, okay? We need to identify what those terms are and fix it.
Well, so they have another 20 years.
Right. We've got people wanting to invest in this airport, and we don't know what the terms are. We don't. And that's what I'm saying we try to fix. Now,
but
understand,
Dennis,
also,
Dennis, are you saying that I don't have the 20? I think if you're saying that.
Well, you
have
the option if you accept my terms. Per se, the board's terms.
Right.
Okay, so, but you don't know what those terms are. They could be anything, okay? But the thing is that we can't, this was totally, in my opinion, an illegal move by the board 2004, because we don't even have that property. Our lease with the city expires before the termination of the earliest extension we can grant, okay? So this board does not even have the authority to sign a single extension without going to the city and renewing our lease with them. Okay? So that's part of the lease policy.
Wes?
Well, a couple of points. First of all, whenever that has become an issue, the city has been happy to extend the airport's lease. That did become an issue a few years ago, and they did it. That's the history, and we all, you know, honor that history.
But they did it how many years ago?
Peter, do you remember?
No, I don't.
And I want to say we have about 22 years left, okay? But the city...
Then it was a couple of years before that.
The city's not giving us 60-year leases, though, to cover our 60-year contracts, and that's part of the thing we have to bring the city on board to resolve, too, okay? Which is why... This lease policy needs to involve more than a board and users. We involve the city. You know, what's expected from the city to stand up and maintain those leases that we then sublet to all of our tenants?
Can we just keep the discussion related to Jim's issue here?
Okay.
On
agreed.
Is transfer of the lease
that is currently in place.
Right. Is that what's really here at base? What's going on is you're transferring the lease from your father to a revocable trust.
Right.
Such
right.
as it is, right. whatever state it is.
It's
right
him.
Now.
It's him to himself.
Where is
it?
Yeah.
It's a trust.
Right. What I'm saying is, however flawed it may be.
Right.
He's talking about moving it from his left hand to his right hand.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. My father, whatever my father has...
Or doesn't have,
he's transferring from himself to himself as trustee of the estate.
I think the only issue that came up with whoever it came up with was he included the wording in there about the right to exercise the third 20-year option there.
Now I think I can address that, if I may. This isn't the first assignment we've had. We've had a couple like them. And what typically occurs is the assignment clause comes in and tries to renumerate our contract. Okay, so here's the terms of our contract. And what we've been doing over the years, as far back as I can remember, is not allowing that. An assignment is an assignment from A to B. Our contract is in force. We do not have to re-specify the terms of our contract. So, because what happens is you start allowing that, you might find conflicts between the two documents. Okay, so that's what our attorney did. He suggested removing the things that tried to restated the contracts and. I've read through the entire assignment for before and after, and I'm ready to make a motion to approve this if we're ready for that.
Approve which one? I have both of them here.
No, the one that's in our minutes, the one that's been revised.
Jim, now, how do you feel about that?
Well, my preference would be to get my original signed, okay? If you say, no, we're not going to sign that, I would like a signature. So I'll say, fine, sign the second. But I sure as hell want something on record here that you acknowledge that I exercised that option to renew.
Okay, but there's two issues. Mm-hmm. The first one is we just talked about.
The assignment at the original document.
The second one is that we have a piece of paper here that was written by the office manager announcing that on 20 July the board made a decision. I think we need to look at the minutes for the board. What did the board actually do on 20 July 2004?
I have. I pulled that.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, did. That's exactly correct. Yeah.
That is exactly correct.
And that all should have been in our packet, as far as I'm concerned. His original stuff, all that should have been in.
No, we're not. Okay, even if it's all 100% correct, and even if they signed a new contract for another 20 years, the bottom line is an assignment agreement should not re-specify contract terms. They're asking for an assignment from one tenant to another name that's addressed the assignment, and our current practice is we don't allow anybody to rephrase the contract, okay, for this very reason. We don't want a cloudy water.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, I would disagree, only because an assignee is going to want to see the terms of what he's getting. Okay.
Which I specified there.
And I think that if the board is mindful that you shouldn't be signing anybody's assignment because you could get hoodwinked into agreeing to terms that aren't there, then please read that carefully, look at the documentation I've given you, and say, isn't it true in Jim's case?
Case by case.
I mean, I certainly am not trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes here.
Well, I think that if we assign the original assignment, if this board agrees the original assignment with the terms that are there and we sign it and execute it, record it, that we will, in effect, have approved with the existing current terms an additional 20 years for a total of 60 on a primary contract. I think the way that was phrased, we're pretty much saying, whoever this is assigned to, that person can rely totally, and there's no the clause to subject to renegotiation is out the window. We've already just pretty much established a term.
No, it isn't. But Dennis,
but
if
I guess
it would help you, if it would help you, I could add to that. ASICME acknowledges that the terms of such renewal are to be negotiated with the.
But there's already a document specifying that. Okay.
I'm only offering that because you sound like you're leery of the language.
I'm not. I'm leery of rephrasing existing contracts, and so is our attorney, guys. Our attorney crosses it out. Our attorney has crossed it out two or three times in the past couple years on other assignments. There's no reason to rephrase a previous pre-existing contract when you assign something. You could create.
But isn't using so your concern is using the exact same language.
Grant the assignment without adding stuff to it.
Okay, but bear with me for just a second. If Mr. Temposi himself, your father, showed up here,
yep.
showed up at the airport and wanted to, he's already exercised the option, is he not?
He has.
Yeah, he's exercised his option subject to our approval of new terms, yes.
So what's at issue here is the concern that we're setting a precedent by letting him assign it from himself, in essence, to himself, to a trust
yeah.
that is owned by him. That somehow becomes precedent setting in that someone else could then come and say, well, I want to assign it to, not to myself, to my own trust, but I want to sublet it or sell it to somebody else.
No contention there.
Okay, so what's I'm not following the concern.
The concern is that the assignment term document was reviewed by our attorney, who crossed out additional wording that didn't need to be there. That rephrased our contract that we already have in writing.
Well, is this the language that we're talking about?
Yes.
This is what he's crossed. So he's crossed out language that I don't think anybody took any exception to the fact that it happened.
But why does it need to be in the assignment? That how does that affect A giving it to B? It's part of the contract.
Can I answer that, Dennis?
I mean, why not just rewrite the entire contract?
Well, he doesn't try to do that.
But why is he putting that phrase in there and not the other 10,000 words of the contract? Why restate the contract?
Because I think he's...
I mentioned the original lease. Then I mentioned the exercise of the 20-year term, which now ends in only 6 years. Do you want me to take that out, too? It'll look like the lease expired 14 years ago.
True, that's true. Jim, can we move on to page 2 here? For that, there's another clause that was a little bit different. And can you just explain, do you want this graphic? The second portion that says by execution hereof and for the value received.
Oh, you're in the assignment document.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, let's see. In other words, if there are any that we're looking for, it becomes.
Okay, by execution hereof.
Okay, so the first part is exactly the same, at least in full force and effect.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now this additional language there. What does that say? As the effective date.
It was taken out of
trust. But why was this in here? Why did you add this part in here?
That would normally be a standard thing. He wanted it out, and I was happy to give it to my father. Generally, when you're assigning a lease.
Yeah.
The original assignor would love to be let off the hook, right?
Right.
You don't want to. Now, if I were selling my building to Shane McLaughlin,
yes.
I would say to the airport authority, gee, you've got a new tenant. Can you release me from the tenant obligations? And you'd probably say yes. I don't know why Attorney Frasca said, I don't want to release the assignor. I said, you know, it's still us. I don't care.
Yeah.
So fine, I'll take it out.
Okay. So either way, but that's just...
But I prefer it to be the other way, because
you
why
prefer
would
it
you,
to be this way.
Why would you? Why look to the as ignore?
But if it's just your dad,
So I don't care. But if I was selling the building to Stuart Steele, I'd say, could you release me? You've got a new tenant.
Someone want to make a motion?
Yes, I do. I move that we approve the assignment as approved by our attorney and revised and placed in our minute package tonight.
Is there a second? No second.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, that's great.
Right? Okay.
Why do we want Don to approve this assignment? Is there any objection to this assignment going from Tempo the senior to a trust?
No, I don't have my question. The only thing I'm rolling in my mind is whether it requires going back to the original one. But I don't have an issue with this one.
You don't have any issue with? Pretty much my motion was to adopt the one that's in our packet that has these changes
in it
edited already. No, they're gone.
So it's been removed.
That's the original.
Got it.
You have the one that Jim submitted.
Yep.
Okay.
And what he's making a motion to approve is not.
It's the revised one.
It's not that.
It's not the original, but the revised one.
Got it.
Without the items crossed out by our attorney.
Any further discussion?
May I ask a question? By crossing those off, is the airport authority saying that this right has not been exercised?
No.
No.
The right has clearly been exercised, so I don't see why the wording can't be in there on a case-by-case basis. I understand Dennis's fear of a mistake being made or something being missed or some sneakiness going on. I don't feel it's happened in this case. So I don't find a problem with the wording as Mr.
Tamposi. Just so you know, that the wording in the original assignment request was not verbatim per the 2004 documents. Okay, it was paraphrased. Okay, and does not match the contract. And you know what? If you want to go back and debate for a couple of weeks back and forth with our attorney and kind of put that phrase back in there, it's great. But the rule of thumb is, whether it's in there or not, it doesn't change the validity that he's exercised his 20-year option. It just makes the assignment easier to process.
Is that what is behind the lawyer's suggestion to remove it?
Well, there's two items in here.
But what's driving his suggestion is that language be removed, the fact that it's not a verbatim transcript of what was said before?
I didn't have a discussion with him on that, but I agreed with
what you did, right?
I spoke to Nick.
Yeah.
And Nick said to me that the reason he wanted it out was that how can you exercise something if it's upon terms to be negotiated in the future? And I said, Nick, I don't care.
Right.
I'm not going to let this building go in 6 years. We know that as a policy.
But I don't see how that language says that. Yeah. That he's got struck from that. It just says, additionally, that it's July 20. It just states.
It says, thereby increasing the term by yet another 20 years from January 2022 to December 2041.
Okay.
Now, it does not say in there. This pretty much infers that we have a new agreement, it's settled, we have agreed upon terms, and we have a new contract extending to 2041. And I don't see that, personally. I do not see that. But that's what the paraphrasing in this document means. And why do we even need to have this discussion? It doesn't need to be in the transfer. Or assignment.
I'll tell you what, I can live with it not in there, but if the board will give me a recordable acknowledgement of my exercising the option.
Well,
I think you have this. It's notarized.
Can I? Your
option.
No.
You said
that,
it to us.
You're asking me to take but, out that, that
no,
20 year.
I'm sorry. I it's just the way I am. He's striking the language as of January 1, 22 to December 31st, 2041. And that is what's here that accompanied the certified, you know, letter and check that was then cashed. So how is this not already? I don't get it.
Okay, well, this clause right here. Where is that clause? This additional term shall be subject to renegotiation of all terms and conditions.
Well, then make the motion to add the language that says that that any additional term is subject to renegotiation of all terms.
Okay, well, I'm not going
to
do that.
That would be
very
easy to add right here.
Because our attorney, okay, they gave us this recommendation.
Okay, yeah,
okay.
Right.
if you want to table this for a month and go back to the attorney and work out a solution, that'd be great. I just think, you know, we can approve this assignment expeditiously right now by not trying to rephrase an existing contract that we don't need to.
But Mr. Tantozzi is also looking for this board's approval that the actions taken on July the 20th, 2004 are in fact
still valid.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, they're still valid. I agree.
To reaffirm that. So it's actually two separate motions.
No, I don't. Is it a motion or just?
Or.
Well, you made a motion that you seconded.
Okay.
We need to take a vote on that motion.
Let's do the motion that's on the floor first, and then we can talk about the reaffirming extension that you require. That,
right.
That's in.
I don't think there's any argument there.
Place. Okay. Yeah. Any other discussion? Can I have a roll call, please?
Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Secretary Cushing Adams?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifel?
Yes.
Treasurer Mahoney?
Yes.
And Director Stevens?
Yes.
Now, can I get
a motion?
Well, you have a motion? Yeah, let's have a motion. You want to make a motion?
Motion to acknowledge the 20-year extension for the Tantozzi lease.
With terms subject to negotiation.
Subject to negotiation.
You could even say per the terms.
Per the terms, yeah. You know, to begin on January 1st, 2022 and end on December 31st, 2041.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
I would prefer that just we list the document that we're talking about and not try to paraphrase it, but read it out.
That we had all the information
and acknowledge that it is in our hands and it is in existence. Okay.
Lease E.
And not create another motion that doesn't mirror it exactly. If that's what you want to do.
I'm comfortable. I think the Tamposis have given a lot to this airport, and I'm comfortable extending.
But if this document is legitimate in its current form, I don't know why we have to re-authenticate it.
Exactly.
No, but they're just. He's requesting.
All I'm saying is that your motion needs to follow the document that you're referring to.
E1442, right?
How about the October 14, 2004?
Which one are you looking at?
It's like page 3 or 4 of the handout.
Yeah. That's the certified mail letter.
Do you have that wording down? Do you want me to state it again?
Because that specifically does call out a lot.
Okay, this board in June of 2004, Jim, do you have this document in 2004? Pretty much took this letter, voted on it as a board, sent it to all its tenants, and it has like half a dozen signatures on it. Okay? It looks pretty much just like the one that Wes handed me. Okay? Okay? But instead of one property, it's in effect for all 48 properties. Okay? So pretty much that's what has transpired already. And the Bush Board hasn't taken any action to reverse that.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. Does the maker of the motion want to amend it?
I'd like to amend the motion. Amend the motion to what? Accept the document dated October 14, 2004 from James N. Tamposi, Jr., extending his lease to end December 31st, 2041, with terms to be negotiated.
Accept the amendment?
I do.
It's like we just got married.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Bob hasn't woken up yet.
I abstain.
One abstention? One abstention. Okay, motion carries. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bob, do you want to talk about the director term?
Yes. When Director Mahoney and I were appointed by the mayor to this board, we each received a letter of appointment. It specified our term periods.
Yep.
The information on the letter that appointed me was incorrect. Thanks to our alderman, I received the new letter. With the correct date, my term expires August 31st of 2019.
I'm a short time.
Okay.
Not as short as me, honey.
Yeah.
Okay. Capital Improvements Committee, FY17 recommendations. The airport manager touched on it in his report, but the two projects that we have that we requested funding from the city were very well received and accepted with the highest rating of projects available. The committee recognized that the monies for the project is basically paid for 90% by the FAA with local funding being part of the balance of the project. And that's to be submitted now to the mayor, who will form his own budget and then go to the alderman.
Tell us what the projects are that you submitted.
Sure. It's the paving project.
How much?
1.1.
Well, it was the second half of the paving.
It was the second half of the paving project. It was about 20,000.
Would be the
city's contribution.
The city's contribution.
20,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other part was
master plan. The master plan.
Master plan,
and that was 22,000.
It was about 20. Yeah, it was about 22.
Yeah, so it was under $45,000. Approximately.
Does this represent the entire NAA portion, or is this a portion of the NAA expenditure that you want the city to help cover?
It's
100%.
It's 100% of the NAA.
Correct.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
And if you recall, half of the project was funded in last year's budget, and that money is there for the project.
Okay. Thanks.
Any public input? Director's comments.
Well, I'll make this quick. In the last board meeting, I mentioned my desire, wish, plan to prepare an events calendar, which I did, and it's currently on the website. When I spoke about that, my goal was not to duplicate what was already on there about touch a truck or anything else of that nature, although it certainly can be on there. I was looking to provide a tool whereby everyone, but particularly the board, knows what's coming up and not being told about it an hour before it happens. For example, one of the things that I said that would be good on there would be, when does the board sit down and talk about the next budget submission? And then a couple of days later, I get an email that says, well, our budget has gone to the city. And I had breakfast with the chair, and we talked about it, and we've agreed that we're going to try to fill in this calendar by saying things, for an example, okay, the next budget, we'll start talking about it in December so that we can flush it out in January to get it to the mayor for March, for whatever the mayor's timeline is. I don't think it's fair, and I know it's certainly government business, is that openness is the name of the game. And we certainly have the right to have non-public meetings, but absent that, or aside from that, everything that we do should be out in the open, on the up and up. And when in doubt, we should throw it up on the website so that everybody knows what we're going to talk about here tonight and or the next night or whenever we meet together, and that there are no surprises. No, I heard this, I'm hearing this for the first time. Obviously, some things are going to happen where you hear it for the first time. But if it's something that is very intricate and very involved and complex, I'm only speaking for myself. I need time to digest this. I need time to do research. I need to ask some questions. Sometimes those questions will be very, very academic. But I'm not an aviator. And I think I have the right to ask those academic questions, even though they may sound infantile. They are important. And as I mentioned before, I read everything. Thank you very much for the library you presented. But Director Mahoney and I are the new people here, and we really need to know, I'm speaking for myself, I really need to know what it is we're going to do in advance so that I can really think it out. I'm a kind of a person that I have a calendar that goes all the way out a year, and I want to know, I know Christmas comes on December the 25th, but what's happening on December the 28th? I want to know in August, and I'm just that kind of a person, and I have found over the years that the more we know, the smarter our decision-making process will be. So I have this events thing. It's on the website. If you have stuff, my email is there. Send it to me. Let's put it on there. And I would appeal to the members of the board that anything that we can put on here that educates everyone that's involved in this process, I think, is worthwhile. And I'll do the labor on it.
Oh, good. I like that part.
Thank you very much. That's very good.
I agree with the statements, and I would suggest that you add to the list that I can see in front of me something in the month of December that says begin looking at next year's budget.
I believe it says it right there. board discussion.
There you go.
There it is right there.
Yeah.
Well, right there.
There you
okay,
go.
I'll
put it. Don't. I wouldn't even go so far as December. I'd put it back into the end of the...
Well, the chair recommended December.
Okay. Okay. I think that might be a little bit late, given the amount of times that we get together.
Well, actually, you bring up a valid point, because there have been some years that we've not had a meeting in December.
Right.
So okay.
Why don't you start it in October, November? We can certainly have discussions, and if they're short,
hey.
Okay.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Good.
No, you're it's your dad. Sorry.
Yeah.
You have the floor.
I experienced the same kind of thing. I'm trying to come up to speed on this as quickly as I can. I'll apologize again for not. But to the extent that we can start as much of this stuff as early as possible, I think that would be worthwhile. So I salute your efforts.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I just wanted to respond to your comments. there's no need to have a budget get together or major discussion in November or December for the CIC submittal. And I'll tell you why. Because we do that in May, June, for the next fiscal year, which starts the 1st of July. And we can just tag on with that what our next year's budget is, because we're not in sync with the city with our budget. We already have our budget prepared. And what happened a couple weeks ago with our operation budget submitted to the city was just a compilation of our best guess. It doesn't even have to be accurate. The city's not giving us money. We manage the city has never given us money for operations. They only give us money for capital.
Are we overseen by the city? Do we answer to the city?
Yes, and that is why.
Did the city ask us to submit something?
Let me finish. I'm addressing the very issue. That is why we look at our minutes every month. I mean, at our finances and our budget every month, mm-hmm. And that information is available to the city. And that is pretty much what we did. We took that and said, okay, this is what our budget is for 2016, 15-16, and we gave them that for 2016 with a few modifications because we knew we were going to pay underground storage tanks. Now, I wasn't involved in that. I had nothing to do with it. I never saw it until you saw it when I opened my email. But I guess what I'm saying is that I respect the decision to move forward with that because we're not asking for money. We're giving a budget. It's something we discuss every month, and we go through this process with all five of us agreeing on the line by line budget items in June.
Would you
okay?
Yeah, okay. Would you not agree that it got a little bit clunky trying to do that by email? Would you not agree it would be more beneficial to do that in as a?
Oh, absolutely. But I would hope that before we talk about it as five people that. A director or two sit down with Steve and hash it out.
I don't disagree.
Okay? Like the treasurer should do that. I totally trust you to sit down and make a budget recommendation that we go through quickly. Okay?
We're actually
and that's where it comes to. Is
I need to put a budget thing down here for June. Is that correct?
Yes, it does need to be in there for June. Yeah. Let everybody know it's coming up because that's when it happens. But at the same time, as our treasurer, you've had all of our comments, all of our concerns about forming a process in June. It should be totally up to you as a treasurer to approve the CIC submittal in February to the city.
Yeah.
And
well,
you all get to do
that
is
would have been good to know.
Right.
In February.
Okay, it's
or even January.
Transitions.
Okay.
Transitions.
Right.
Okay.
If I may, I'd like to just modify my comment. Appreciate it. I use the December budget thing only as an example.
Placeholder.
What I meant was what you just said, the June one. I would like to be able to sit down and have the manager say, okay, in FY18, our payroll is going to be this. And I'm going to say, why is there a difference? Well, we hired another person or we're going to. Okay,
exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
And I agree with you totally.
That one, with respect to the budget.
However, we're going to need to look at a budget in, say, January
for the
CIC to the city.
Correct.
And I'm thinking that as an administrative function, it doesn't have to be a board function. And I, for one, don't need to look at it when I know someone who knows what they're doing is taking care of it. Okay? Don't tie our hands. Which is what, you know, sharing the responsibilities and getting multiple things done instead of all sitting behind one person is what this board's been all about for the last year.
I have a long list. No, all fucked up.
Bring us home.
I just want to thank Danny Webster College because, again, they always open up their building for us. April 20th is the next meeting. Anyone have any conflicts for that? The calendar, like Bob said, I have been working on a calendar. I was hoping to have it done for this meeting. Dave Heath and I have come up with pictures and events and different things, so it's just not all put together. I'd like to sit with Bob, too, and have him give us some input. I put some letters over here on the table. Ray Grenier put together a little synopsis of his thoughts. And he brought it to me last week. And he said, oh, I've been working on this, you know. You can just throw it out if you want. But it's really, really interesting. It's stuff that we've been talking about for a long time and haven't done much acting on, but we definitely need to. So I encourage you all to take a copy of that. Give me your feedback. Thank Ray for his input and taking the time. And then corral him to be part of some kind of committee. A tree for Danny. Some of Danny's close friends wanted to buy a tree and a little plaque and plant it out where the propeller is. There's a lot of benches already. Originally they thought of a bench, but a tree is what they would like to do, and I want to make sure we have your blessing on doing that, that his close friends can get together and put a little tree and a plaque out there.
I think that would be wonderful.
Okay. So, where anybody? Out where the park is, where Danny always used to work in his hat, over by the fire station. We talked last time about a standards and procedures preamble or history or anything. Has anyone done anything on that? Nobody? All right. Dick Mashikian, and I kind of didn't want this to be on public record, but he's a veteran. I'm sure many of you know that. He is going on an honor flight on April 17th. And somebody reached out to Lenny and I. We do a lot for honor flight to pick him and another veteran up, and drive them to the airport to be seen off, and pick them up when they get home. So I don't know if Dick knows any of that yet, but I don't know if any of you have ever partaken in that, but it is an amazing thing. They leave at 6 in the morning, so it's early. I'll get you all the details. I think it's Boston, but if you've never been to see the heroes off in the morning or welcome them home, it's something you shouldn't miss. It is amazing. World War II and Korean, they've started bringing Korean vets now. So again, that's April 17th, and if you want more information, I'll get it to you. I did meet with the fire marshal. It was great. I couldn't believe how positively it went. He looked at Hangar 81. He said that 50 people or less, we have his blessing. Anything over 50 people, we need to discuss with him what kind of equipment we'll have, or tables or stages. It has the proper access for exits. A certain number of people will have to prop doors open and lock them open, things like that. But it has everything it needs, so there's no reason why we can't have gatherings there, which is great news because we haven't had those for a while. He said, I believe, 380 people with tables and chairs and 720 standing room only. So it's great news for our airport.
We're going to get a sign?
To be able to do that. Hmm?
We're going to put a sign in there?
Put a sign?
Yeah, the building occupancy thing.
Oh, we should ask him. A building occupancy sign? I don't know. I don't know if he would. Would he need to?
If we need that, we can check the ordinance.
Yeah. It's a case-by-case basis, and we just have to let him know with minimal time ahead. I think that's all, believe it or not.
I want to thank everyone tonight for their input. I know it was a long meeting, but I think we accomplished quite a bit. I did want to say that I did attend the GSAMA, the Granite State Airport Managers Association meeting last week. Learned about the state funding and the way monies flow to and from back to the airport. It was very helpful. I think we have a lot of an uphill battle, but it's a battle I think is worth exploring to look at the funding and how that all translates into the big picture. And that's all I have. We have.
I move that we adjourn.
Well, we adjourn to non-public session.
To do what?
Yeah. That's why I don't know why that's on there.
Well, Mike might know why.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a need-to-know basis.
Okay.
Well, yeah. we need to say why.
It's for a personnel matter.
Okay.
I'll second that one. Are you making a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn to non-public session to discuss a personnel matter pursuant to RSA 91-8:3-2B.
I'll second the motion.
It has to be a roll call. Oh.
Roll call.
Chairman Rosenblum?
Yes.
Vice Chair Christian Gavin?
Yes.
Treasurer Mahoney?
Yes.
Secretary Scheifele?
Yes.
Director Stevens?
Yes.
Thank you all.